KEHTFM, WHCPT.
Hey, what's up? KEHTFM. I say this counts. Is that the one we figured out was a twofer?
Yeah. I double-checked the maps. I downloaded them off of the DNR website, and it definitely overlaps, so I'm calling it a twofer.
All right, good deal. Yeah, I haven't made it over there yet, but one of these days I will. I haven't done any in a while. I think my last one might have been that big one where I got 366. But, yeah, I need to get out there and do it. I've been hunting a lot, but not activating.
Yeah, I made it over to Heartland State Park today earlier. I had to drop off my son early at his hockey game in Heartland, so it was only a 10-minute drive. So while I was waiting for his game to start, I was able to get out there and at least activate real quick.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I was having kind of a rough day today, but if you would have mentioned something, I probably would have already had my HF ring sitting in the truck hooked up. But anyway, yeah, all the deer went dead at my place. I don't know if the does are like 100% in heat right now, and the bucks just aren't moving or what. But like, it's been 3 days since I got any deer on my cameras.
Yeah, I was surprised how active they were into the rifle season. I mean, it was like, they definitely went into the rut a little bit late, that's for sure. Yeah, they were running all over the place the opening weekend there.
Yeah, I just couldn't stand missing another opening morning, man, so I went into my spare bedroom, popped the window open, put my orange hat on. And there were literally four deer came out of the thicket, like 30 yards from my house, four does. And then they were just kind of hiding. I don't even think they were really eating. They were just hiding in the thick weeds. They must have already had an encounter with a hunter or something. And then all of a sudden, the one started blowing, but she wasn't blowing at me. She was blowing toward the railroad tracks away from me, and then I heard a grunt, and I heard a snort wheeze, and I'm like, ooh, there's a buck coming. And I'm like, I'm actually going to get one. And I look, and it was at least a four-pointer, a decent-sized rack, but as soon as he seen that doe, man, she took off running, and he took off after her, and there was no way through all them trees and stuff I could get a shot, but at least I didn't miss opening morning again.
Yeah, this was pretty cool season only because I got to, I was able to see that the doe bleat cans, they do work. I mean, you know, that guy that set up 100 yards from me, I mean, he was literally using that thing every 13 minutes for about 4 hours straight. Because it wasn't until 11:45 when I shot that 4-point. And, that 4-point come right out of the swamp, and he was just looking at it, walking back and forth. He wanted to run out and go check it out, but he was just hanging out right in front of my stand because I was in the swamp in a cedar tree. So he thought he was safe, and when I picked the gun up, he kind of jumped, and he had that look on his face like, uh-oh, I messed up.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know, I've got a lot of deer around me. Even when I had the food plot planted really good, I tried all them calls, and nothing came into them. I tried rattling, I tried grunting, I tried the bleats, and it just seemed like they didn't respond to them at all. Even when they started, like for the 1 year, I was waiting for a big buck. So I had, like, five different little bucks in front of me chasing a doe around, and she wasn't ready, so they weren't getting anywhere. And so I started using all the calls when they were, like, in front of me within 80 yards or less. And they didn't even pay attention to me, man. I was just like, are you kidding me? These things don't do nothing, man. They're not even listening to them.
Well, what I learned with the bleat can is you need to give that to your friend and then hunt 100 yards away from them, and it'll work just fine. The grunt call, on the other hand, the next day, I was in the stand. It was real windy, but I was in the stand for probably a good 4 hours, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to hit my grunt and just see what happens. I only gave one small grunt on my call, and a spike came crashing right in, right next to me. And it was looking all over the place, couldn't find anything, and then it went back into the swamp. But just that one grunt, and he ran right out of there. It was pretty wild, because that was the first time I ever had a deer respond like that to the grunt.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I think the reason they didn't respond is because there was five, no lie, there was five different bucks. Two of them were really nice 8 points, but I had meat in the freezer, lots of meat in the freezer, and I'm like, okay, I'm not shooting one unless it's bigger than one on the wall. And then the other three were just, you know, 4 points, 6 points. And, yeah, they didn't even pay attention, but they literally had a doe. That poor doe, she was from... My food plot's only like an acre and a half, 2 acres, but they had her all over that food plot, all through the woods, and then back in the food plot, then she'd stop in front of me, and baiting was still allowed, so I had a bait pile 20 yards out from me, so she'd stop at the bait pile panting and eat a little bit of bait, and then one of the bucks would come up, and she'd run off, and then that buck would eat at the bait pile. I mean, it was pretty cool seeing what they actually do. Before I had this spot at my house, I'd always shoot the first buck I seen, no matter how big it was, and I never got to see all that stuff. It's kind of cool. If you don't shoot the first one, and you wait, a lot of times there's more following them.
Oh, yeah, when the rut's on, they're all over the place doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Last year, I had two doe that were... around me. I never could get a shot at them, but there was one buck that was just chasing them all over the place. They were behind me 100 yards, then next to me, then in front of me, then they were 100 yards in the other direction, and that buck was just chasing them all day long. It was quite funny to see the three of them constantly, you know, running around my stand. It's pretty wild. But the rut was earlier last year. That was like first week of November that was happening, where I didn't really see any chasing until the rifle season.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's cool when that happens. Next year I'll have my food plot in there and I'll have some more action. Plus I'll be able to get my power blind. I probably could put on my bee suit and go up there now, and there's probably not much in there, but I got to make sure there's no stinging insects lingering around, because I know the yellow jacket queens like to go in there, because I found that out last winter. I'm like, nothing's going to be in here, and I crawled up in there with just my heavy coat on and everything, no bee suit, and I'm like, okay, nothing's in here, and then they started crawling from behind the little blackout windows I have, and it was yellow jacket queens, and I'm like, okay, I killed that one, but how many more are here? So I shut the window, but then the damn thing fell back open this summer, so once I get up there this year, I got to measure the windows, and I found some really good windows that I can install from the inside, and then I won't ever have to worry about a window opening up again, because everything sealed great in that thing, except for the windows.
Yeah, and then take all the cracks and get that Instafoam stuff and fill everything in. That should keep everything out. Yeah, all my hunting I did in my climbing stand for the most part, and of course I got to take a break from hunting until I'm gonna wait until Thanksgiving to drive back up. But yeah, sitting in that tree stand, you know, 3 days all day, I screwed up my lower back, and I haven't been able to walk. My sciatic nerve and everything has been bothering me. So I'm hoping I feel a little bit better, but I think from carrying my climbing tree stand in and out of the woods, I screwed it up.
Ah, that sucks. Yeah, I used to always use my climber. What did I have? Some kind of a Grand Slam. I can't remember the brand name. I should know it. And that thing was pretty cool. And then I've actually got all the stuff to saddle on, but I haven't, I bought it when all this health stuff was going on, thinking, okay, I'll be able to use this, and I'll be attached to the tree at all times, and I won't fall. And I haven't tried it out yet. So that's another thing I want to do this summer is try that out and get used to it. Then I can hang a couple ropes up and just rappel right up the ropes. That'll be nice. But anyway, yeah, I'll get that. I'm still going to try to get one this year, though. We can bow hunt all the way in St. Clair, Macomb, and Wayne County. You can bow hunt for does and bucks until the 31st of January. So I got lots of time yet.
Yeah, because I know my I'm going to buy a chest freezer. Well, I have a chest freezer, but so by the time I put the deer in it and groceries, there's like no room. So I'm going to buy an upright freezer for the family stuff, and then I'm going to use my chest freezer for the deer. So I'm going to try to fill the two more tags that I have, my doe tag and then my restricted combo. I'm going to try to get those filled here before the end of the season. So if I have to, I'm going to try hunting at Wetzel and then the other place with 25 in Gratiot on that state game area.
You know, you might want to look into that state game area that's like, I think it's like 6 miles east of my house, St. Clair state game area. Because there's only a couple little spots to park, and it's not huge, but somewhere across the street and down the road a little bit further, there's one of those farms where you can take a number and hunt there, too. I don't know if your doe tags are good statewide or not, but that there might not be as much hunting pressure on them two spots. I've never actually went out there during hunting season to see how many people hunt it, but it's kind of like a small one, like that one you were saying over there in Chesterfield, but it's a little bit further north.
Yeah, maybe I'll check that out, too. So that's what I'm going to try to do is look for exactly those types of small plots, and then I'll just get in there in my climber, and hopefully we'll get some snow on the ground. It'll make it a little bit easier to see where the runs are and see if I can get on top of something.
Yeah, I don't know if they still do that Hunter's Access program, but that there was a farm across the road from that St. Clair state game area that did that Hunter's Access program, and depending on how big it is, there'll be like four numbers or four tags or something, and you go to a box on the property, and if there's a tag available, then you grab it, and only so many hunters can hunt on that farmer's land, but I never checked it out because I couldn't find the box. I was looking for the box just to see where it was at. I even drove up in the farmer's driveway, and nobody was around, and I didn't really want to knock on the door and bug them, because if they say go to the box only, which that one said, that usually means they don't want people bugging them. So, yeah, I never figured it out, but that's a cool thing to look up, too, is the Hunter's Access program. I think it's called HAP, H-A-P. There might be some between your house and my house that are in Macomb County or something that you might find and be able to look into.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, I've seen those programs. OnX even has the maps, but I've never actually tried looking for the boxes in that. That could be something to check out. Yeah, I know up north, the late firearm for the month of December, you're allowed to hunt on state land now, so I don't have to just do private land only. So at least for this year, you can do the state land as well with a rifle, which I'm kind of surprised. Because that kind of monkeys with the archery hunters a little bit. That seemed kind of strange to me.
Yeah, they don't care about the archery hunters. And I mean, not that I'm against kids hunting, but as soon as they started the gun early doe and kid and youth hunt and all that in September, I mean, that's like the biggest kick in the butt to bow hunters, man. You get guns going off a weekend or two before your bow season opens, and it puts them nocturnal, like, right away. So, yeah, they don't care about archery hunters. That was the biggest kick of the butt there.
Yeah, I'm getting to where I think I'm going to... I'm going to be switching to a crossbow here come next year. But I definitely like hunting October better because, man, I knew it was a little bit of a bummer because we're at the state land that I hunt on across from our cabin. They clear-cut a bunch of areas in there. So it looks like it pushed the deer into the area where I hunt, which is good. But, of course, it also pushed the hunters into that area. I had more hunters this year than I've ever had, you know, trying to hunt.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to be using, a crossbow. I actually got to bring mine down here and go to that range, indoor range. Hopefully they allow crossbows there because I got to sight in my... I bought a new one last December and I haven't sighted it in yet. Yeah, so you got one in St. Clair County, which is the one I was telling you about, that's still there. Oh, this is 2021. I don't know. Oops. How'd I get to 2021? All right, I'm going to have to look again.
Yeah, if you have the coordinates, send them to me, and I'll check that out on my site as well. It sounds like you got a lot of nice bucks in your area there running around.
Yeah, this is east of me quite a bit. Not the same bucks, but it's the same kind of area. There's a lot of woods and a lot of farms and so it's got to be the same thing. And I can't see too many people hunting there unless they're parking right on the side of the road because there's literally one spot to back in where I did POTA, and then there's one other spot you could probably back in. And it leads to the field that they plant something in that's actually on state land, too. So, I'll get you I'll drop a pin on it and show you.
Yeah, hopefully I can get lucky and get everything wrapped up next weekend so I don't got to be in the bitter cold trying to pull my bow back.
Yeah, that hunter's access is still there. I'm trying to see what they say. They said 17, I can send you the address of it. It says 9 hunters allowed, 135 acres. Yeah, I'll send you the address of it. That was weird. Did you hear the squelch stick open?
Yeah, that was real strange. I was on UMP there talking for a little bit, so I heard it there, but you must have heard it on FBI. I just switched back to FBI because now it's coming in good again.
Alright, yeah, I just sent you a screenshot of that one. The state land's literally right across the street from it. I'm going to paste the address in here real quick to this farmer. And that's the Hunter's Access Program, and then I'll drop a pin on that state land and share it with you, too.
Yeah, that's cool, because that's on the weekends when I got hockey and I can't make it up north. That'll be good, because those are places I can kind of sneak to during the week. Because it's pretty easy for me during the week to take, like, at least one day off during the week. So that's what I want to try to find, are just those little pieces of land that I can get up early, get there, hunt, and get back home, you know, without a big deal.
Yeah, I got to think that one would be less busy than Wetzel. Somebody told me Wetzel's got tree stands all over the place.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure all those properties that border up to it, you know, they walk out of their backyard and have stuff that's ready to go and set up. But I think if you come from the park, you know, and you don't see any cars there, you probably can get in there. I know basically when you walk down that trail to where the first picnic table is, and you go a little bit further and slightly to the left, I always see them over there. So that's all I was thinking, is I was just going to walk down that far, and the first tree that my climber can go in, I was just going to camp there.
Yeah, you go back in that woods, and there's a creek, and there's a lot of the walnut trees that have the green thing over them. They get your hands all full of crap if you try to peel them. There's a bunch of them back in there in a big old creek that goes through there, too. So it's a pretty neat little area. It's just how much pressure is it getting, you know?
Yeah, that's true. But there's only one way to find out. Just got to go out there and try it. You know, it's got to just battle it out. What I did this year up north, and that at least worked for me.
Yeah, that Hunter's Access Program says 900, total of 135 acres. It's got 36 acres of forest, 12 acres of brush or grassland, and 87 acres of crop or hay pastures. So that's a spot to think about trying to.
Yeah, I got to download the new rules and check, but did they do anything with the muzzleloader season? Did they do any rule changes there to extend the hunting? Do you know?
I'm not sure if it's statewide. It might be. All the muzzleloader seasons appear to be the same. They don't scatter them like they used to. And it's any legal firearm again for, I think, the whole state. So basically your gun season is extended for the muzzleloader season.
Oh, really? Huh. I'm going to have to check that. I'm going to have to dig into that. That'd be nice, because I didn't sight in my muzzleloader. I'm just going to hope that that it hits where it's supposed to. So, yeah, if I could just keep using my rifle, that'd be nice. I'll see if it's that way up north.
I'm Googling it right now to see if it says, let me find it, and then I'll tell you what it says.
Yeah, not that I'm against using the muzzleloader, but it's a pain in the butt. So I'd much rather just wait till next year. Pain in the butt to clean, and it's too cold to shoot now.
I heard you, Eric. Okay, it says you can use all legal firearms in Zone 3, which is down here, and Oceana, Nuevo, Moscato, I don't know how to say that one, Muskegon, Isabella, Midland, and Bay counties.
Yeah, one of these, I got to get me a... I think I got to get a rifle for the boys anyway, so I got to get a, want to find like a real simple, like either a 450 Bushmaster or a 375 Legend or something like that, because I don't have any rifles that I can use down here. I only got the muzzleloader.
Yeah, I haven't messed around with them rifles yet. I got a shotgun, a Remington, I think it's called Sure Shot or something like that, or Slug Shot or something. But it's made for long-distance shooting. The barrel's pinned to the receiver, rifle barrel. I got a Vortex scope on it. And basically from 0 to 150 yards, I'm 1.5 inches of drop or raise, whatever. And then 200 yards, I'm like 4.6 inches drop. So yeah, that's a cool. It's a 12 gauge shotgun. Also, if you're getting it for the boys, it might be a little much for kick wise, but you probably would be better off with like a 350 Legend or something.
Yeah, I have a smoothbore slug barrel for my shotgun, but I can hit like a saucer at 100 yards with iron sights like no problem. But it is hands down the worst kicking rifle I've ever shot. There's like no way the boys could use that. So I got to get something that's a little friendlier for them.
Yeah, I just sent a link to my buddy the other day. I think I just sent it to you now with my shotgun. Yeah, that's my shotgun. Unless they make it in 28 or something for the kids, that's probably a little much. But so I sent you that link, and then I'm going to send you the drops. I got it right on my flip-up scope. It's pretty flat shooting up to 150 yards. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, Davian, next year, he should be big enough to start using some of them. I found a guy one year. He was moving to Florida, and he sold all his guns, and he had one left, brand new in the box, like in Emily City. And I drove out to look at it, and it was a Ruger bolt action 270. But it's the one with the wood stock that goes all the way to the barrel, and I forget what they call it. But the guy had it brand new in the box, never even shot it, and he sold it to me for $200 because he just wanted it gone. And it's like brand new. But it's only an 18-inch barrel. It's a 270. And it doesn't kick bad, but the fireball on the end of it with the barrel being that short is ridiculous. It's crazy, but I think Davian might fit into that one, or I might even take it to a gunsmith and have him, you know, turn it into a youth gun for me, maybe just chop an inch off the stock or something. I gotta see.
Okay, that sounds like a good deal. That gun had to be worth a lot more than that. So yeah, this thing is, I sent you the picture, but 50 yards, it's 1.3 high. 75 yards is 1.9 high. Then at 100, it's 1.6 high. These are inches. 125, it's 0.6. Then 150, it's 1.3 low. 175, it goes to 4.2 inches low. And then 200, it's 8.2 inches low. So I can take a 200 shot, aim at the top of the deer, and hit it right in the boiler room.
Yeah, I'm just driving down my street now. I think I know what you have. I'll look at it here shortly. But yeah, I'm pulling into my house, so I'm going to turn off the radio here, and yeah, I'll chat with you later. But thanks for sending me those links. I'm going to maybe I'll check those out, go for a ride one of these days here, just to kind of go peek around, see if there's any cars there or not.
Yeah, I did a screenshot of the Hunter's Access information, and then I put the address in there that you could Google. But I'm pretty sure if you Google that, the coordinates that I gave you were for the state game area, which is right across the street, I believe, from that place. So you can either do the address or the coordinates, and it'll take you to the same place on the same road. The hardest part is trying to figure out where that drop box is for those self-service hunting that private land, because I looked around and I couldn't find it. You'd think there'd be a sign on it or something.
Yeah, that's why I'll go early, just so I don't got to fight with that. All right. Well, it was nice chatting, buddy. I will talk to you later. Have a good rest of the evening. Thanks again for sending all of that.
All right. Take it easy. Catch you later. W8CPT.
Roger. I'm sorry, guys. I'm messing around with my phone. Does it sound okay right now?
Yeah, are you leaving it heat up? Yeah, it sounds fine. I could just hear it echo, but you're probably monitoring yourself.
Roger. What about the audio level?
Well, I haven't touched it since I've been talking to Davian, and it's not too loud. I haven't wanted to turn it down or nothing, so I think it's probably right where you need it.
Roger, Dodger. Okay, I'm going to try the other phone now. I got two different phones. And this is phone number two, Roger, Dodger. W8EAP.
Man, they are almost exactly the same to me. The second one might have been a little bit quieter with background noise, but, I mean, they're almost dead even.
All right, Joe. All right. Let's kind of get them set up about the same. This is my spare phone. One of my spare phones.
Are they both Cisco's?
No. DV switch. Cell phones. I tried to run the Enrico mic. The Enrico mic doesn't work on the one phone, but it works good on the other phone. So I got to try the Enrico mic on my other phone, my third phone. Do that tomorrow. But, so Davian was out POTA-ing. Where was he at?
St. John's Marsh. So if you're, like, heading toward Algonac, when you get to that marshy area on both sides of the road, then at the end of that, I think there's a little boat launch on the left. And if you go anywhere in St. John's Marsh, it's a twofer. It's two POTA parks because the one that covers the island, Harson's Island, shows green on that St. John's Marsh area, too. So, yeah, it's a two POTA park. Twofer. I think it's probably one of the few twofers we got around here, actually. And I don't think too many people realize it's a twofer either.
Yeah, I know exactly where he is. Isn't there like a lighthouse? It says the colony.
Yep, that's on the other side of the road, but I don't think it's right across from there, but it's right near there for sure. Yeah, I used to keep my boat right up the road from that at where the sheriff docked their boats at Colony Marina, I think it was. Yeah, it was. Duh. But that tower isn't in the marina for some reason. That threw me off. I'm like, wait a minute. That tower is called that, but the marina is down further.
Yeah, just before you get into that area where it's got the marsh on both sides, there's like a street there, and a buddy of mine used to live there in these canals. And he'd go out into the lake, and he'd be in Bouvier Bay. That ring a bell?
Ice fish. We'd call it the spot we ice fished. We call it the horseshoe. It's about a mile and a half out from the DNR launch right there. It was the Anchor Bay DNR launch where the little bait shop was.
Bouvier Bay was popular with like wakeboarders and tubers because the water was only, it was really shallow right there, but it was always smooth. It was like just a really nice, smooth bit of water for like tubing and wakeboarding.
Yeah, I used to water ski back in the day, and I liked it to be at least 10 feet of water so when you fell, you didn't hit bottom and snap your neck. But if you're going slow on tubes or something, that would probably be fine because you just, or even with a life jacket on, you probably would just, a tube, you just fall off and skip on the water probably. But yeah, that shallow water scared me whenever I was water skiing because if you fall in the wrong way, you could really hurt yourself.
Never thought about it that way. The speed's always, I've wiped out. I've just skipped on the water like a stone. I fell off a jet ski, my own jet ski. My buddy was driving. He was doing like 65. And I fell off the back, and I skipped. You just don't fall off and go right down into the water at that speed. You definitely skip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like our little speedboat we had at my grandma's cottage on Bald Eagle Lake would only go about 28 to 30 miles an hour. But that was still enough to pretty much skip a little bit, but Yeah, some of them boats would get going like 40, and then if you're on a corner getting swung out, you're doing like 60 when you go skipping across the water for quite some time there. All right, I'm still on the radio, but I'm wearing pajamas that have the Abominable Snowman Bumble on them, and a camouflage T-shirt that does not match them at all. But I need smoke, so I think I'm going in the gas station. If anybody doesn't like the way I look, then they don't have to look at me. And I'm wearing the hat that Walt gave me. It says Captain Don Sport Fishing in Hawaii. There's a picture, man. If somebody gets a picture of me, I might as well be at the Walmart, you know?
Well, if you go to the same store, they probably recognize, you know, they probably get used to it and think it's normal.
Yeah, I do go to this one all the time, but I usually at least throw on jeans so I don't have my PJs on. But I did not feel good all day today. I'm feeling better now, but it was weird. It was like I had a bout of that anxiety, but I knew I had it, so it didn't get super bad. But I haven't had it in like 4 months, man, so I don't know what that was all about, but feeling better now, so I just gonna get me some smokes and relax some more until I'm ready to fall asleep. But anyway, yeah, Dave was redoing the firmware on his smaller Anytone, and he showed me some screenshots. He might have put them in Basecamp and Telegram. They actually did a real improvement compared to OpenGD 77, and looks like you're going to be able to add any new satellites that come in, and you can pick whatever, wherever you want to download your caps, like with a pull-down menu. So I'm waiting for that 878 release, the newest firmware update, because that's probably going to be pretty cool for the satellites.
Yep. I'm just glad I got all the same Simplex channels in my RT3S. Talk to you guys, or 9600 rather. But that was fun. Yeah, I can hear you. I mean, you just about pegged my meter on any frequency, and I could hear Greg a little bit. I should be able to hear Dave. He's got that. I don't know. Maybe it's just the way his antenna's mounted on his house. But I was surprised I couldn't hear Dave.
I heard what you said, but you know how they got islands on when you come in off of Van Dyke on some of the side streets? There's a car parked right in front of the island going toward Lake Van Dyke, and his license plate said FADA, F-A-Y-D-A, and he's parked there with his lights on. I thought he ran up the curb and busted his rim, but he's just sitting there. All right, I'm going to run in real quick. I'll be back in like 2 seconds.
Rajo, W-A-E-A-P. What was that? Is there somebody out there? I can't understand you. You're very weak wherever you're at. Nope, not making it. I heard just a syllable or two.
W-E-T-P-D.
Yeah, someone's trying to get in there, Captain Don, but they're not making it.
I heard I gotta be making it now, but you're still pretty scratchy.
I'll be right back. W-A-E-A-P. Maybe the other guy out there could pull a little more wattage out there. Or maybe move to a different spot. Maybe he's in a dead spot or something.
Nah, spot some people just can't hear. They just cannot hear.
Well, that was much better. This is WTPT, Captain Don. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I don't think I ever had the pleasure of talking to you, Captain Don. The only Don I know is he's a silent key now.
Roger that. That's Professor Don, right? W-A-A-D? Yeah, I talked to him quite a bit. That's, miss him, man. He's always the one on here late at night, or he used to be. And not too many people like to be up at this hour, that's for sure.
Well, I'm retired, so I'm no telling what time of day I'm on here. What about Sean? Is he out there?
I haven't heard him in a while, so I would be willing to guess no. The other guy was W-A-E-A-P.
Yeah, Roger. Well, you guys going to breakfast over there?
I think they do a breakfast on Saturday mornings, but I don't know if they're still doing it or not. I kept trying to make it, and I'm retired too, and I'm never up that early.
Yeah, Roger, Roger. Okay. Well, I just was getting the man, heard you guys. I'm on the far northwest side of Detroit, and I'm using a beam, but then I ain't putting out. I'm only putting out a how many watts? Let's see. Wait a minute. Yeah, only about 23 watts.
Yeah, okay. That's about what my radio set at 25. I'm sure it's only putting out about 22 or something. But yeah, I'm in Sterling Heights, so I'm probably about 6 to 10 miles away from the 2.600 or whatever it is.
Yeah, Roger, Roger. Okay. Yeah, I go there all the time and sell and hike at that cozy cabinet. They didn't shut that cabinet. They shut that place down.
Okay, I know what that is, and I just cannot remember where the heck it's at. Where was it at?
I think it's on Van Dyke and 12 miles somewhere over there.
All right, yeah, I know I've seen it. I don't know. I've probably even eaten there. Probably in my younger days after the bars or something. but, yeah, you know, it definitely rings a bell, yeah. I'm closer up by 18 in Van Dyke area right now. Visiting my parents. I live up in Columbus up by Port Huron, though.
Oh, brother. Yeah, you're a long way, so. Every now and then, I can talk up there, up that way. I turn my beam up that way. I have gotten into Memphis, Michigan. Is there a such thing? Memphis, Michigan, and what else up that way? A couple of other places up there.
Yep, there's Memphis. That's east of me about 8 or 10 miles. I mean, west of me. But, yeah, there's a repeater tied into here now in Richmond, which is... Oh, probably about 8 miles north of Memphis now. So, yeah, it's got decent coverage, too. I actually hit it up in Yale. It was probably about the northern limit of it. But, yeah, that's cool. They got one in Richmond now that brings in a lot more people from the Port Huron area.
What frequency is 147-300 up on? 147-300, where is that located?
That one might be the Avoca repeater, which is north and west of Port Huron. Let me double check. What did you say it was again? Once you say it, I'm going to flip channels and I'll tell you for sure.
147-300. 147-300. I forget the PL.
All right, yeah, I was right. That's K-D-E, so Kilo 8 Delta Delta, and it's in Avoca, Michigan, which is probably, I don't know, maybe 10 miles northwest of Port Huron.
Okay. Is that a standard
PL?
Is that a 100
PL
on there in
50 north? I think it is. Give me 1 second. I'll check and I'll be back. Looks like it's
192.8. Okay, okay. That's probably why I wasn't getting into it, because I've gotten into it before. I just had the wrong field, and I think I had probably 100 hertz.
Roger that. Yeah, that one's up pretty high from what I heard, too, so, yeah, it's got pretty good coverage. I know I can almost hit it here in Sterling Heights, which is my Comet 2x4 Magnum out.
you can hit it up there with a Magnum out?
I think it was that one. Maybe it was the SCC one, Cade SCC or something in Marine City. Maybe that was the one I was hitting. But no, it's got pretty good range. It's up there. I don't know. I don't remember how many feet it is, but it's up there pretty high. And with it being 2 meters, it goes a little further than UHF.
Yeah, VHF always go farther than UHF. It go farther, but UHF is more line of sight, you know. You can, UHF, you know, you can have a little HT with a small rubber duck and get into certain repeaters, you know, in line of sight. You can, you know, you can be in close area more than a VHF and get into it. So they both work pretty good, though. I'm on a 2 meter 440 beam. I know I got a 16 element beam there. It's 8 on 2 meters and 8 on UHF dual band quad. Yeah, Roger.
Roger that. Yeah, that'd be nice to have. I do a lot of the satellites, and I want to get one of those rotors and get it up in the air a little bit. I at least need to get it over my house. But I do have a little small rotor and a little Star Trek rotor I use for the satellites, and I'll turn that. It's got a 2 meter, 70 centimeter with probably about, I think it's 3 elements on 2 meter and like 5 on 70 centimeter. And that gets out better than my, I got a Comet fiberglass up on the top of my roof. And if I point that Yagi, in the right direction of the repeaters, I definitely hit them better than I do with that fiberglass antenna.
Yeah, Roger. Well, what kind of radio you use?
In my mobile, I got a TYT 96, MB 9600, but at my home QTH, I got a Kenwood TS-2000. The main reason I got that is to track the satellites, because it's a satellite radio. And then I got a DX-10, yeah, use a DX-10 for HF with an NFED halfway that's, I don't know, like 22 feet up to about 100 feet in the tree.
Yeah, Roger. Well, I do have a Yaesu 847. It's an old model radio. That radio's 21 years old, almost 22 years old. I bought it almost 22 years ago in Dayton, brand new. I've used it. My UHF sync went out and sent it in for repair. UPS dropped the doggone radio. And I had to take them to court because they can't find a parts and stuff for that radio no more. So I wound up buying this Yaesu 991A. I think it works as a satellite too. You know, I can split frequencies like the 847. 847 is definitely a satellite radio, but I never really used it.
Oh, that's a bummer that they dropped it. Yeah, I've actually got a, my first HF rig I bought was a Yaesu, I think it was an FT840, if I'm recalling correctly. And, yeah, I used that for about about 5 or 6 months before I got the DX10. And that DX10 is so much nicer with the waterfall, but you know how that is, because that 991 has the waterfall. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's a neat little radio. I don't know. I think it can do the satellites, but the tracker programs don't automatically track the Doppler. If I'm maybe I'm wrong though. They might.
I'm gonna have to look into a call Yaesu or something. See if it'll work with the 991A, because I know the 847 will work. And you know. Man, I tell you, I was so outdone when that girl dropped my radio, and when it got to where it was going, the guy says, he said he can't repair it because, you know, they can't find parts for it. And they didn't want to pay me. I had put $900 insurance on it there, and some mother scratches. Man, I had to take it to court and stuff, and the judge looked up on his computer and gave me the lesser price of $600. Plus the guy said, well, I don't need the radio, you can keep the radio. so I got the radio back too. So, but they say now over in England I can find, they still have parts for my radio. The guys over in Canada said I could get parts for me over in England, but I'm going to have to check into that.
Yeah, I mean, it might be a little bit more in shipping, but if you really like that radio and you want to use it again, then, heck, I'd do it. I've ordered stuff from all over the place. Like that Star Trek rotor I got, came from Australia, and, some school kids there made it, and, I guess there's a husband and wife ham that, came up with the project, and the school kids built them, and it's like a box with some motors in it, and you hook up your Yagi antenna to it, and you got to put a counterbalancer on it, and it actually tracks the satellites with the SAT-PC-32 program as they're going over, so that's pretty cool. The only thing it doesn't do is spin the antenna for the polarization, but it still works decent. I've got a handheld Aero 2 Yagi that I use an HD with. The HD's TYT UV390, and it has a firmware you can put on it called OpenGD77, and that firmware actually tracks the Doppler for you. So I point that at the space station or the other satellites as they're flying over, and I've actually had 6 astronaut contacts in the last like year and a half.
Trying to get in there?
No, I don't think so. That's the second time it's done that tonight. After I get done talking, it's keyed up and it's all static. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, Roger. You did say you had a kid with 2000 as well.
Roger that. Yeah, I like that. That's HF and 2 meter, 70 centimeter. I think I can do 100 watts on 2 meter, 50 watts on 70 centimeter. That's a cool little radio. I like that radio. And it tracks a Doppler, too, on the satellites. So you set it up with that PC-32, and it tracks a Doppler for you, too, and it's full duplex.
I wind up getting this. Like I said, I got at that time, the 847 Yaesu back in Dayton 20 years ago. Had I known, I probably would have got the Kenwood 2000, because you're right. It puts out 100 watts on 2 meters and 50 watts on 440, whereas this radio and my 847 only put out 50 watts on 2 meters and 50 watts on UHF. So that extra 50 watts make a difference.
Oh yeah, yeah. You can still find some of them used. That's how I got mine. I just got mine about a year ago now, I picked it up used in really good condition, and it's one of my favorite radios. I even tried it. I got antenna switches so I can use it on HF, and every once in a while I'll just spin the dial instead of, you know, looking at the waterfall on the new fancy radio, and it does really well on HF too. I mean, it's a nice radio.
Yeah. At one time I wanted that 2000, but now, you know, these new ones come out where they got the 60 meter channels on this radio, like up on here. I love the 60 meter channels here. Yeah, that's a great radio. They always improve with these radios, coming out with something better. Yeah. So if that 2000 had 60 meter channels in there, man, I would really be trying to think about getting one of those radios. But are you familiar with the 60 meter channel?
No, I don't think I've ever explored that yet. I'm looking up the band plan and all that right now, because once I see that, I'll know. I know I've been on 80, but I don't think I've been on 60.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of radios don't have it. It's the, only the new radios have 60-meter channels, and there's only five channels. You know, it's only five channels, man. But we have a net going on every day at 5:30 on channel 2. 5:30 p.m. on channel 2 on the HF radio on 50-meter channels. Yeah, that's pretty neat. I talk to people all over the country, man. It's fun.
So are you talking 2 megahertz? Are you talking 160? Because I'm looking at the band plan now. It says 2 megahertz is 160 meters. And then there's 60 meters, and that's like 5.32 through 5.405.
There you go. 405. Yeah, right in there. There's only five channels. I'm not talking about 160 meters. That's way up there, 160 meters. I mean, you gotta have a real long antenna. Well, I should say a long wire for 160 meters. For 60, I mean, for 160 meters. But for 60 meters, you know, it's like I say, it's in between 40 and 80 meters, you know. If that's, like I say, the five, I'm not looking at the channel thing there, but it's like five channels and 5 point something other, and all the way up to 5.45 or 4.4 or something like that. And hey, there's a bunch of people at a certain time of day be on those frequencies. I talk to guys, but the only thing different is it's limited to power. You can't only run but 100 watts on that radio. Nobody can run over 100 watts. And the only thing is if you want to really get out, you got to have a good antenna or a good wire or something like that.
Okay, I'm seeing it now, yeah. It says 100 watts PEP relative to half-wave dipole permitted. operating modes are single side band or upper side band, CW, RIDI, PSK31, and other digital modes such as Pactor 3. Only one signal at a time is permitted on any channel. Okay. I don't know if my radio does, my DX10 does that or not. I'll have to look.
Well, how old is your radio?
Oh, the DX10 is brand new. I just got it. Not even a year ago, so I'm guessing it'll do it, because I know I can do 80.
It'll do it. If it's HF radio, it'll do it.
Yeah, OK. Okay. Yeah, I wonder how many watts. I wonder if it should do 100 watts because my HF is 100 watts. And obviously I can't legally turn my amp on.
You don't want the FCC to come knocking at your door, although they're not active as like they used to be back in the days. But still, you don't want to take no chance of having them come back knocking at your door that quick.
Roger that, yeah. I know. I'm looking at it now. Let's see, where's it say? Hang on, I'll take a break until I find it. Yeah, I don't know what, I'm going to have to say something to Sean if I talk to him tomorrow, because this thing is like, there's like a squelch burst when I unkey, and then every once in a while, that squelch burst stays going, and then I got to key it up a couple times to shut it off.
What you got a radio from him, or is the repeater, what do you think it is?
I vaguely remember it was doing something like this with my radio. The repeater was a while back, and he had to fine-tune something. So it might be needing fine-tuning again, the repeater, not the, not my radio. Okay, so it says receive 1.8 megahertz to 29.6999 megahertz. Where's the transmit? Transmit 1.8 to 54 megahertz. Yeah, okay, so I can definitely do it. I'll have to try it out one of these days when I'm at home. You said 8 o'clock is when they have the net?
No. It's at 5:30 p.m. 5:30 p.m. every day on Channel 2. And Channel 2 is like, I'm not looking at it, but I think it's the last four numbers, like, well, I should say the three, I know the last two numbers is 48, something like that. What else? Wait, is it 5.248 or something like that? If you're looking at it, just look, give me the frequency of the channel 2 on that 60-meter channel.
Okay, yeah, it's probably 5.348.
That's it. Now, you tune that every day at 5, if you got anything. See, I got a rotary dipole cover 6, 10, 15, 20, and 40, but it don't work on that, of course, because it's won't go that high. But I do have a wire dipole that covers 10 to 80, and with my tuner, my MFJ 998 tuner, I can go to 6 meters, and I can go all the way up to, I can lift it up on 160, but it won't transmit that high. But, and so, you know, 60 meters is right in between there, so I can tune there. And what I have to do is, in order to tune 60 meters, I go to the frequency. If you see, I have to go sideband, really. Let me see how I can do that. I have to go FM first, and one of those frequencies, you know, they got like this, like part of it, it's got the FM part, and then you got the other part for up the sideband. Well, if you go to the FM part, and I mean, let's see, what am I talking about? CW or something like that. And you press, well, my mind is an automatic tuner. I press the button, an automatic tuner for that 60-meter channel. Then I go back to, upper sideband, and that's when I can transmit. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but it's kind of weird with how I have to do it.
Yeah, I've got the full legal limit MFJ tuner, manual tuner, and I got to put it on ready when I'm tuning up. And the antenna I have, it's 130-foot NFED half-wave. It says it's good from 10-meter to 80-meter resonant. So I could, if it's resonant from 80 to 10, I could probably get it to tune with that manual full legal limit tuner. No problem, I would think.
yep. You should be able to do that. But let me ask you this. Have you ever tried to bring up the 6-meter repeater here in Detroit on your radio?
I didn't even know there was a 6-meter repeater in Detroit, so no, I have not.
Oh, brother, how long you been licensed?
Not very long. It'll be 2 years in February, so it ain't been very long.
Oh, brother, I should have known I'll be talking to someone that's been licensed, but not that long. I should have known, sir. It's all right, but what class license are you?
I've got my general. I got my tech in February of 23, and then I got my general in May of 23, and then I'm half studied for my extra. Kind of, I want to get the extra done and out of the way, kind of a tribute to Don that passed, because he kept pushing me, saying, go get that extra, I know you can do it.
Yeah, Don is a good guy. I'm a general too. I wish that when I was in the studying mode, I should have continued. But I've been the thing is, I've been a tech for years and years. When I first got my license, I got my license in 92. Can you believe that? And I was content with being a tech. But I had friends that pushing me because they had upgraded. And they said, they kept saying, man, don't you want to talk around the world? Don't you want to do this? And so I said, well, I can. They said, well, how? I said, I talk all that collegiate. They didn't like that.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. But yeah, I did all that All-Star Echo Link, the Hoyt phones, and in the 2 years that I've been a ham, I've really done a lot. So it's fun, man. I wish I would have got into this sooner. I'm trying to find that six meter repeater. I'm on repeater book right now, and I just searched 6 meter, and nothing came up. I wonder if I got to hit FM or something. Or is it FM? What is it?
A 6 meter repeater is FM. It's 51.2. Let me see. Because they got one in Canada too, and they have a net be going on in Canada too. Canada's is 53.030. With one meg or something down. So if you were to put that offset in there on Canada, it would be, when you key up, it would be 52.0030. And then when it unkey it, like I said, it'll say 53.030. Now let me see. Detroit is 51.840. There you go. 51.840. And theirs is a half a meg. So it's a half, like a negative 500 down. And when you put that in there with a PL of 100 hertz, you should be able to bring it up.
All right, yeah, I found it now. I got it. I had to put it in FM in the search. So there's one. There's actually five of them within 50 miles of my house, which is up near Port Huron. It says there's one in Lake Angeles. That's 53.9400. There's one in Southfield that's 52.6800. And then the Detroit one, you were right, 51.8400. The Windsor one is 53.050, and then there's one in Mayville, which is 51.8200. So, I'll have to play around with them.
Hey, give me a minute. Well, I didn't even know all that. Let me write all these frequencies down. Hold on.
All right, let me know when you're ready. They're all 1 megahertz shift, except for the Detroit one. So I can actually read them all off.
Okay, go ahead. Jim's coming.
All right, the first one is in Lake Angeles in Oakland County. It's 53.9400. And then the offset is 1, so it'd be 52.9400. And the PL is 131.8.
Hold on. Oh, give me 1 second. Just hold on 1 second.
No problem. I was sitting here bored, so I'm glad I got someone to talk to.
Okay. Now, please start all over. Now, I'm an old man now. I'm 70 years old. So you got to take it slow with me now.
All right, no problem. If you want the call sign for the repeater, the first one is November Echo 9 Yankee, and that's in Lake Angeles, which is Oakland County. And let me know if you got all that, and I'll also tell you the frequency.
Just said November Echo 9 Yankee.
Roger, roger.
Okay, give me the frequency for that.
All right, the frequency is 53.9400, 53.9400, and it's a negative 1 megahertz offset with a PL of 131.8.
Wow, okay. What's the next one?
All right, the next one is Whiskey 8 Hotel Delta, and that's in Southfield. Whiskey 8 Hotel Delta in Southfield. And the frequency is 52.6800, and it's a negative 1 offset with no PL tones.
Okay, so that's Whiskey 8, Henry Delta.
Roger, roger.
Okay, what's the next one?
All right, so you got the Detroit and the Windsor. So the last one is Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Uniform Zulu. But Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Uniform Zulu in Mayville. And it's 51.82000. 51.82000 with a negative 1 offset. And 131.8 tones.
Oh man, as much as I love 6 meters, how in the world did this get by me?
Well, you can get on the internet, and there's a site called repeaterbook.com. I think it's repeaterbook.com. I got an app for it on my phone, Repeaterbook. It's the app. And then, yeah, you could search all different ones. That's where I found it.
Should have known that. I'm up on them books, but I don't know how I overlooked the 6 meter repeaters, man, because, Jesus. I had no idea it was so many around. Oh, man. Only one I knew of was one here in Detroit, and that's not that far from me. And then the one in Canada, and I could get, well, I don't know, I can't get into Canada now because they must have lowered their repeater. I got family over in Canada, and I'm always over there. Matter of fact, I'll be going over there today and see my kids and my grandkids and talk to the Canadian guys over there. And they lowered their repeater for some reason. I don't know why. But at one time, I could get in there with no problem.
Well, I think you were saying it was 53.03000, and this is showing 53.05000. So, and then the PL tone is 118.8. So I don't know if that's different from what you had. Maybe they changed it. I'm not sure.
they can use both of them. They can use 53.030 or 53.5 or 53.0.5, something like that. Because one of them is up here, they like linked together according to what they said. One of them is farther up towards Chatham or something like that. So I'm not sure, but I never could get into 53.050. I get in 53.030.
I wonder if it went down, because it's not showing it as on here when I did the search, so maybe it's not active anymore, the 0301.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I ran across you, because that's something I'm going to have to look in. I have to talk to those guys over there. I'll be going over there today, seeing my grandkids, and I talk to them. A lot of times I have lunch and stuff over there. Some of the Canadian guys over there that I know, Greg.
All right, yeah, that's good. It's saying it's in Windsor, too. The 53.050 is in Windsor, it says. So maybe they changed it around, and that's the only one they got now.
You think about that. You might be right. I do know the building that antenna sits up downtown Windsor. I do know. You know, so, yeah, that's great. Now, you say, how far are you from Detroit now?
My home QTH is, let's see, it says it's 42.2 miles southwest. But I actually have a Yaesu 710 that'll probably, well, I don't have a wire for that, though. I use dipoles when I'm, or not dipoles, hamsticks when I'm portable with that radio. But yeah, like Sterling Heights, I'm there a lot. That's a lot closer. But yeah, I'm 42.2 miles from the Detroit repeater, the 6-meter one.
Okay. Okay. Where you are now, what do you have set up for 6?
Oh, right now I don't have anything set up for 6 in Sterling Heights. I do have a Yaesu 710, which is a neural radio that'll probably do it. But I don't know if I have an antenna that'll do it, because I've got hamsticks. Yeah, not for that band. And then I've got a Chelyance MC750 vertical that I think 80s. I could do 80 and 40. And everything on down to 10, but I don't think I have an antenna to do it unless I pick up a wire.
Well, that's all right. I mean, you know, yeah, you could probably do it if you get a wire or either. Well, okay, let me ask you, this hamstick, are those? Are there, you can sort of put different, how can I say it, can you use different, one of those, you can change them up, change them, the megahertz, like you can go anywhere from like 6 megahertz, I mean, what am I trying to say, 6 meters all the way up to 160 meters. Is that how that works? You can take it out and put different meters in there?
Yeah, so basically my magnum mount that I'm using for this 2-meter radio, 70-centimeter radio, is an NMO mount. So I've got an adapter for that NMO mount to where I could screw a hamstick in there. And then each band is a different hamstick. So I need to look and see if they make a hamstick for 6 meters. They might. I don't know. I'm going to Google it right now.
You know, I got a friend that got one like it. I was trying to make sure that that's what you had. They do. You get that, you'll be able to get in the 6 meters.
Oh, look at that. Gigaparts has a Shark SF. 6 Shark mono band, I think is a 6 meter. Let me see. Yeah, 6 meter, 44 inches. And then they have another one that's an Intellitron 6 meter hamstick for $15. I gotta order one.
Yeah, man, you have a fall. You get that 6 meters. It's not that many people down there. And see, the thing is, there's a guy way up there where you are. Wait a minute. Where are you now?
Well, the closest big city to me, well, not big city, but well-known, is probably Richmond. And then I'm not too far from Marysville. And then Memphis is like 8 miles west. So, like, if you went by Port Huron, if that's all you know, I'm probably about maybe 15 miles, maybe 20 miles southwest of Port Huron.
Yeah, well, you might have to get that baby. You might have to put it up, put it outside or something like that in order to hit the 6 meter repeater down here in Detroit there. Yeah. But, Yeah, that's, I got, well, a friend of mine, he lives over there on the east side there, that KADKP Charles, and he lives in Warren, Michigan. He's closer to Roseville, and he can hit it with a Magmount antenna that he got set up in his apartment, the 6 meter repeater there. So there's a chance you may be there, and a chance you may not be, but if you can't hit it, that means you're not high enough. Yeah, you gotta put that baby up. I don't know what type of house you live in, but if you live in a bungalow house like mine, and you've got an upstairs and an attic, I'm sure you'd be able to hit it there.
Yeah. When I'm down in Sterling Heights, which is close to Warren, I just got the Magnamount on my truck. So, and I sit in the driveway at my parents' house. That's when I'm down here, I'm visiting them. And then my house up near Port Huron, I've got that long 130-foot wire that's resonant from 80 to 10. So when I'm at my house, I'm pretty sure I can use that wire and do the full 100 watts on that TS-2000, and I'll probably hit Detroit.
Yeah, well, when you're in your mobile down here, you say you can work, you got 6 meters in the mobile, because you can use that ham stick, and you will really get into it when you're down here in the mobile.
Yeah, I'm actually ordering that 6 meter ham stick right now, so I can play around with it. I don't know how long it's going to take. And well, yeah, it says 3 to 10 business days, but, yeah, I ain't paying no more than that for shipping. but yeah, no, I'm going to order one and play around with it. I like trying new stuff.
Well, all you got to do is offset in there. Because put on a 51.840, and then, a half a meg down, negative, with 100 PL, and you should be able to get into it. Yep. And see, there's a guy that lives up there, up by you there. He talks to a guy down here by the bridge, down here by me, down here by the Ambassador Bridge. And I said, well, why you guys talk so far away? Why y'all use 6 feet to talk so far away? He said, well, we can't talk. We can't talk on the regular repeaters because they, because the VHF, UHF, you gotta be within distance. Whereas the 6 meters, it's got a long stretch, and they can talk from like you said, way up there. The guy down here at the bridge talks to the guy way up there in where was he? Up there somewhere by you. I said, wow, so 6 meters does travel a longer way, but you have to have an antenna up in the air there.
Okay, so do I have to use an HF radio and put that on FM, or, because my mobile, I wonder if my mobile would do it. Probably not.
What is your mobile? What did it cover?
I don't know. I got to look that up. Hold on a minute. Let me look it up. All right, I got a page up. I got to find a description here. I don't... Yeah, okay, 150 to... Oh, no, it does more than that. It says 150 to 174, but it does UHF too, so this ain't telling me the right info.
No, 150, that's commercial bands. 150 and the 174, that's commercial. A ham band is like 144 to 147.
Yeah, the description is not saying the right thing. I mean, maybe I have to find it somewhere else. I'm looking down first. Yeah, let me find a different page. This one's not showing the right thing because it's the exact radio I got in the description, but they're saying it's only 150 to 174, which that ain't right. Hang on a minute.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, yeah, this is just a UHF, VHF, that's what I thought. 400 to 480 and 136 to 174. But yeah, my Yaesu FT710 will definitely do it. I just have to set it up on the dash and not play around with it. So, all depends on how quick that 6-meter ham fit gets here, and I'll give it a shot when it gets here. Might not be, well, I'll probably be back at my house trying it with the NFED halfway before this gets here, but no, that'll be neat to have something new to try out.
Man, you stick with me, I'll have you doing all kind of stuff. I'll have you doing all kind of stuff, because I'm into the digital, too. I'm into DMR, D-Star, Infusion. You got anything like that?
Well, I haven't messed with the D-Star because I don't have a radio that does it. And I do have I've got an HT that is Fusion, actually two of them. I've got the one expensive Yaesu one, the 5D or something, and the 70D. And then I have a FTM 6000. I don't think that one does Fusion, though. Maybe it does. Mobile radio, but that's not hooked up anywhere right now.
I think that will do it. I think that will, Yaesu 6000. I think that's strange. I think that will do it. Wait a minute. Is that a mobile radio or a base radio?
It's a mobile, and I vaguely remember that it didn't do it. And I was, like, kind of bummed because it was a Yaesu radio, and I thought it would. But, yo, my HT does. The zombie network, zombie net, I've checked into that a couple times, and then the DMR, I got the TYT 878, and this is a DMR radio I'm talking on right now, actually, so the TYT MD9600, my mobile radio. I've done the DMR, I've got an Echo Link, I've got All-Star Nodes, I actually got an All-Star Hub. I don't remember the number of it. What is it? 1-6? I don't know. I don't remember it offhand. But yeah, I've done everything but the D-Star and I've done the Fusion, but I'm not like I'm not big on that yet. I haven't done it very much.
Oh, that's too bad. But I was gonna tell you should order that thumb drive for the computer. And it'll give you D-Star, DMR, and Fusion in the house. It's something just as long as you got a computer microphone there. And you can get on a zombie. You can get on all that stuff. Plus on D-Star, because, you get on reflector. A lot of us are up on reflector. We're in this area, reflector, let's see, what is reflector? Dang, I ain't been out there in a while. Reflector 66 Delta. Reflected 66 Delta, and we used to, the main one in Michigan, there's a lot of us on the reflector, let's see, reflector 48 Charlie, and I know people in Indiana is on reflector 48C, they're on 48 Bravo, but if you had set that up, you'll love that, you know. You can talk to people in different states, you know, flip over to their reflector. Of course, some of them ones around the world, You know, some people talk a foreign language, you're not going to understand them, but the ones that, of course, talk English, we have no problem there. Are you, so you're not familiar with the thumb drives, are you?
I don't think so. In a minute here, I'm going to look it up right now. I'm finishing ordering that 6-liter hand stick. Because I definitely want to play around with it. Why does it do that? They should put the little, for the date, it's 11/28, and it doesn't have an exclamation, or not exclamation, what am I talking about? There is a dash, okay, 11/28. There we go. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. Tell me a little bit about that while I'm doing it.
Look up Northwest Digital, Northwest Digital, because my thumb drive costs $119. I don't know if it went up or whatever, but a lot of us got those thumb drives. As a matter of fact, I got two of them, because I can hook it up to my telephone, too, and get on D-Star.
Okay, once this order finishes here, I'm going to ask what that is again to look it up. All right, cool. 6-meter hamstick is ordered. Okay, what was that? I'm going to Google now.
Northwest Digital thumb drive. Northwest Digital thumb drive.
All right, yeah, I see it. It's 119. I don't know if I'm going to order that now, but I definitely want to see what it's all about here. Will I get you on D-Star and Fusion, too?
That's right. Get me on D-Star, Fusion, and, let's see, there's four modes. D-Star, Fusion, and D-Star, Fusion, and D-Star, Fusion, and DMR. Yeah, you can get DMR, too. So, it's pretty neat, man. You won't have to use your radio so much.
I'm almost wondering if my MMBVM hotspot will do that, because I can get into Fusion with that. I bet you I can get into D-Star with that if I play around with it, too. Might already have something I can do with D-Star, and I don't realize it.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, a lot of radios, you know, you can get a hotspot and do that, you know, in certain things like that. Excuse me, but, I guess you could do it that way, too. I mean, I love the thumb drive because it turns my computer into a ham radio. And I can go down the list of all that stuff. Hey, what type of phone do you have? An Android or iPhone or whatever?
Yeah, I got an Android.
Okay, hose line in your phone?
Oh yeah, I think I have that, but it's been a while since I've used it. BM Randomizer hose line. That's what this MMBVR goes through too.
Right. Okay. you ain't that far behind. I mean, you're not that far behind there. It seems like you got something going on over there. So okay, as long as you know that. So, but you know, I got so much equipment I get into. Like I said, you know, with a thumb drive, I can plug it in my phone. I can put my computer and. And it's pretty neat, you know, how I can go to different reflectors and stuff like that. So you're not really big in a D-Star, right?
Well, only because I thought you needed a special radio for it. If I could do it with my DMR radio and the hotspot, then I'm going to definitely go down that rabbit hole, because I got a couple days here where I'm not going to be at my house, and I don't have a whole lot to do. But did you say you can get on an All-Star with that?
You know, I'm not all that familiar with All-Star. I do have friends that can probably tell you a little bit more about it, yeah. But, you know, I'm overwhelmed with all the stuff that I got. You know, I'm sure you probably can, though, but, you know, but I enjoy the thumbs, like I said, the thumb drive, because they give me four modes. I can't remember that other mode. G-Star, DMR, Fusion, and there's one other mode that I can do. And it's fun. It's just like having a bass radio, but you turn your computer into a bass radio. And, you go in there. I'm sure you got a microphone for your computer because you got EchoLink. And, you can go down and you hit this button, and it'll take you over to G-Star. Hit this other button, you're in the Fusion, and hit this other button, you're in the other mode and stuff like that. It's amazing, man, what you can do with that thing.
Oh, okay, that's the Blue DV. Blue DV, I think Eric that was on here earlier has one of them. So D-Star, DMR, and Jesus Fusion. Okay. Yeah, D-Star is the only one I haven't messed around with. I messed around with DMR, and I've played with Fusion a little bit, but I haven't got into the Fusion where you get on a computer and you can see the different rooms and stuff. I still have yet to do that. The problem with that is there's a Fusion repeater near here where I'm at now, but there isn't up at my house. So I have to figure out how to use that MMDVM hotspot and do it. That's just the digital modes. I got all out in All-Star. I am all about that. I know how to do that. I actually got a All-Star hub up in a cloud server. And that people can connect to that do All-Star. And then the DMR, I guess I'm pretty proficient in that. But yeah, the D-Star I just never messed with, and the Fusion I haven't really dove into enough yet.
I'd be having a fall on D-Star stuff, because I have a D-Star radio in my car, a 5100, Icon 5100. And when I go to Dayton, I talk to my friends from here all the way down there with no problem. You know, with D-Star with my open spot. My open spot 2, they got the open spot 4 out now. So they got the, you know, they went from 1 to 4. And if you get your 4, open spot 4, you can switch some kind of way digital. You can have a, say like this is you got a Fusion radio. You can switch it over where it can just do a little cross over to D-Star and all that stuff, man.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure my MMDVM hotspot does all that. I just got to figure it out, because I think I got into the zombie net from my house with that hotspot. So if I could do that, then I'm sure I could probably do D-Star too. I don't know. I'll have to play around with it. That'll give you something to do tomorrow. I'll look up everything at D-Star, try to get into that, and figure it out.
Yeah, well, you got number time. Sound like you, young man. Me, I got less time in front of me than I do behind me. I don't know how they put that. But anyway, it's all fun. You know, when I first started in, I mean, I used to like, I was just, when I was a kid, I just couldn't understand that how do in the world these police can talk on radios in their car? How do they do that? It's like a telephone in their car. Where's the wire? And so, a friend of mine, you know, when the police come on the block back in the days, they'd say, if you hear a radio playing? And so I said, I would speak it out loud to my friends, because we always gather around the police and when they come around. And my friend said, look, you see that little antenna on top of the car? That's what they use. Uh-huh. And then all of a sudden, so I started noticing that antenna. I said, look at all police cars. And I said, dang, he's right. Got the little antenna on there. And then I said, well, what the hell is the undercover police cars? You know, the unmarked police cars. They didn't have an antenna on it. And found out that their antenna, they back in the day, they had VHF, they would have the antenna built inside the windshield, inside, so you wouldn't know unless you look real hard. And because back in the days, they used to drive those Plymouth cars when I was little, and it had a bubble back glass, and you had to look hard to see it. It rests right on the glass. So, pretty soon, it just one thing led to another.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, I'm gonna be 52 here in December. I had to retire early because I took an antibiotic called Cipro that gave me some permanent side effects. So yeah, I worked at Ford as a pipe fitter for 28 years. I had to retire early, so I got tons of time. And I'm a little bit younger than you, but not a whole lot. But yeah, I used to do the CB all the time when I was younger, and had them on our cars and played around with that, and then I kind of got out of that, and because I think cell phones came and everybody stopped using them, and so yeah, here about two years ago, I'm like, hey, I wonder if anybody ever uses those CBs anymore, and I started Googling that, looking into that, then I found GMRS, and I'm like, oh, I bet you that's the new thing now, so I bought a GMRS HT radio, and got on it, and I think Don, Professor Don, was one of the first people I talked to on there, and then a whole group of guys, Dave, Eric, Sean, they all were on there, and they're like, yeah, you need to get your ham license, so I looked into that and got that, like, probably within 2 weeks of them telling me about it. I studied up and got my tech, and then it's all been uphill or downhill or whatever you want to say from there. I've done so much. Like I said, I actually talked to 6 astronauts, 3 different ones, 6 times through the space station repeater. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I used to listen to Don. Because this 991A will go up there on them channels you're talking about. And I listened to him talk to St. Donald up there on that frequency too. I'll go get my license for that. It's like you said, a new CB. You know, you can, your whole, all your people, I mean, people in your family can use it as long as the station at your house and all that stuff. So, but it's, I mean, it's all right, but it just don't be ham radio. Like, I love my ham radio. I go all over the world talk all this thing. I guess, I said, well, let me talk to some of the guys over there in England. I get on there on 40 meters, let's see, 75 meters at night and talk to the guys over there. And, you know, and during the day, of course, I'll be on, I can work 40 in the day, too, and 10 meters, you know, 10 meters up to 40 meters and stuff. So I talk to my friend in Maryland. Every day on there, just like I'm talking to you right now. And he's got a nice setup over there in Maryland there. And he lives over there by my family, and that's how I ran into him on EchoLink. And we started, and when I found out what setup he had, that's where we started talking on Asia.
Okay. Yeah, I have a lot of fun on Asia. I've been doing a little bit of that POTA, where you go to parks and activate the parks, and then my HF radio, both of them are 100 watts, and I'm all over the place, all over the world with the 100 watts, and then I got the Ameritron 811 amp, I think 600 watts, and it just blew my mind. So I get the amp, okay, and I actually made a QSO with Australia, and I'm just like, all right, this amp is so cool. So then, like a week and a half, 2 weeks later, I got my portable HF radio here in Sterling Heights with a ham stick, 20 meter, and I hear New Zealand, and I'm like, I got to try this. And 100 watts, I got New Zealand with a ham stick, you know, and it's just so amazing what you could do. I mean, there was one guy in Belgium I talked to probably for about a half hour talking about fishing, and I mean, it's just a lot of fun, man. I should have got into this a lot sooner.
Well, I you know, I, as a kid, like, I didn't told you half the story, but, you know, but the thing how I got into ham radio, are you familiar with, like, those radios that you could turn the knob to listen to the police before the scanners came out?
Well, I know scanners because my grandpa had one the whole time I was growing up. But yeah, I'm not sure. I know what a scanner, old scanners were, but I don't know if it was like the one you're talking about.
This radio came out before the scanners. This radio. Okay, do you know? I'm sure you. I mean, even though you're a lot young, you're a lot younger than me. I'm sure you remember radios that you could turn the knob to tune in the station's frequencies, right?
Oh, you mean just like FM AM radio?
Absolutely. AM and FM radio, absolutely. Now they got digital radios, you know, digital. But right, I asked my mom to get me a radio like that for Christmas. But the thing is, with this radio I had, it would do AM and FM, shortwave 1, shortwave 2, aircraft, marine. Let's see, did I get all of them covered? And police 1, police 2. Now, police 1 was VHF. Police 2 was low VHF. Because back in those days, the state police used to be on the low band, and Ontario Provincial Police, like they call them the OPPs over in Canada, and I used to listen to them until they moved up to the 800 megahertz. They moved up when Detroit and some of these other suburbs, they moved up to the 800 megahertz. So everybody is pretty much up there now.
Okay, yeah, so you had one of the radios that did more than AM, FM, okay. Yeah, I remember seeing them when I was younger, too. Yeah, I still remember Channel 2, 4, 7, and 9, and was that in Canada? I mean, yeah, I had a little black and white TV in my bedroom with the little rabbit ears and stuff. So, yeah, I'm still kind of right there with you.
there you go. Was that now? Let me just say this. With my 8-band radio, if you look on the knob, you know how, I mean, I could, like I said, most of the police in this department, and probably up towards your way too, it was on VHF, and they would be around 154 to maybe, no, I'll take that back, 153 to maybe about 155, and then you got some police like Dearborn used to be on 158. And you just turn the knob and you just tune them in, right?
Right, yep. I know what you're talking about.
Okay. So, you know, so with my 8-band radio on VHF, it would go from 44 to 174. It go 44 to 174. So up there up there by 174. So up there by 147, something like that, the ham band was there. You know, and I'm like, and I turned at the end of the knob, and I'm hearing all this Morse code, beep, 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 and I can hear people talking, and in Toronto, and places far away. I said, what the heck is this? And they didn't sound like police. They didn't, you know, I said, pretty soon I listened, and then I heard them talking about there was a swap coming in Hazel Park. And so I had me and my friends, we wanted to go to see what it was all about. I took my 5-watt walkie-talkie up there, one of them big walkie-talkies. And I went to the swap, and some guy come up there and says, hey, what do you got there? I got my 5-watt walkie-talkie, and he had a 6-meter backpack radio. And he told me, well, you know, I'll talk to you with 1 watt. What the heck are you talking about? I got a 5-watt walkie-talkie. What is he talking about? Well, as time went on, I understood that 6 meter travel spotted in the most times in the CV did. I mean it depends though. But anyway I was in there and I listened to all the other guys, and at that time they didn't have those what they call synthesized radios where you can tune like we got today. You had to put the crystals in those, and a lot of them had Motorola handheld radios, like the police. I said, wow, that's pretty cool, and stuff like that. So it got me and my friend interested, let me by the time. It got me and my friends very interested in that, and they became hams before me, because at that time you had to take Morse code. And of course, I wasn't as good as they were. They iced that stuff like it wasn't nothing. So then one day they said, hey, Jay, you don't have to worry about Morse code anymore. It's got no code right in the 90s. So that's when I had got my license there. Go ahead.
Wow, that's neat. Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny, too, because my whole life, I started off with the CB radios and then fizzle bowls, but then, like, when I went deer hunting and stuff, we would use the FRS radios, and I'd always think about the CB, and I don't understand why I've never learned about ham radio anywhere. I mean, I remember seeing, like, what is it, Herman Munster on the Munsters, doing the ham radio and stuff like that, but, like, I never knew it was, like, an option for me until 2 years ago, and I was like, oh, maybe it was because of the Morse code.
What was Herman Munster's call sign?
I didn't think I could learn that, because I still don't think I want to learn that. but, yeah, I don't know. It's just, I wish I would have got into it a lot sooner, because I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Okay, it's not like somebody said we ought to ID. I'm sorry about that. This is N8WJL, November 8, Whiskey, Julie Lima. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, too. This is Whiskey 8, Charlie Papa Tango, for ID. But, I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, we have an ID.
Captain Gunn.
This time of night, nobody's on. So.
What is that trying to get in there? Is that you, Sean?
No, I said, what was Herman Munster's call sign?
Well, you gotta, I don't know, you gotta ask the other gentleman that. I guess he's asking you what was Herman's call sign.
Oh, okay.
He had a real call sign. He did.
W6XRL4.
He had a real call sign.
Yeah, you can look it up in QRZ. Yeah, Herman Munster had some really funky call sign, and you can look it up on Google if you don't believe me. And that was one of the best Munsters episodes, anyhow. This is W8EAP, not Sean.
How are you guys doing with these W calls? It don't sound like y'all that old.
Well, mine's a vanity. I ended up getting W8CPT for Captain Don. Before I retired, I was a sturgeon fishing charter captain out in the St. Clair River. So I got the vanity call. And it's pretty neat. I looked that up. The original person that had that call sign was out of Detroit. And his last name was Probert. I can't remember his first name now, though. And it was way back in, like, 1950s or something.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Yep, it's all good, but, yeah, that's, but like I said, the D-Star, I love D-Star, I used to love GMR, it was pretty neat, but when I got into D-Star, oof, that was it, and so mimes, I talked to my friends, I go all the way down the stage and talk to them just like being on the telephone, you know, just as long as you got Wi-Fi and everything. That's pretty neat, way, this ham radio system sort of, improved over the years, you know, coming up. But I love to get everybody to start. I never forget before the cell phones came out. You know, cell phones, before they came out, and go to Dayton, and everybody's mother, brother, sister, uncle, everybody had an HT. But it used to be crowded. You had to put the encode, decode in there, and it would cut down some of the noise, you know, you can talk to some of your friends. But I never forget, I took my girlfriend down there for the first time back in the day, and I said, look, if we get lost from each other, just grab any ham operator, and I wrote my call sign down and the frequency I would be on, and they can get in contact with me. And lo and behold, where did she go? She gone. She wanted to try it out. And next thing you know, a ham operator called me. He said, "NAWJLJ, are you there?" I said, yeah, this is NAWJL. He says, you got a girl that's looking for you over here in the cafeteria. Way on the other side. And she said, she'd like for you to meet her there. And she just thought that was so cool.
Yeah, that's neat. There's not too many young ladies that are into the ham radio. I know that. It's pretty funny when I'm on HF and chasing the POTA. You'll hear a woman on there, and every time I look her up on Cures, that her voice does not match. Sounds like it's, you know, a young to middle-aged woman, and you look, and she's like, you know, 60, 70, and it's like, wow, your voice does not match.
Yeah, it's all good. Before the cell phone, when the cell phone started getting popular, I'll never forget, I was in Maryland. And I was at a store that sold Cellular One, those backpack cell phones, Cellular One. And I told that man in that store, I said, ain't nowhere in the world I get a cell phone. It's ain't too expensive. I'll never own one of them. And that man told me, I'll never forget what that old man told me. He said, sir, there's going to be a day when everybody's going to have a telephone in their pocket or something. I thought that was crazy. Not me. Not as expensive as these things are. And, well, there you go. When they came out, I'll never forget. I got my first cell phone just the year of 9/11. 9/11 was September, and I got mine in August, the month before that. And boy. And had no idea how cheap it would be to have a cell phone.
Yep. I had my first cell phone was one of those bag cell phones back when I was in high school, or just out of high school. I graduated in 91, and I had one of those bag phones in my car. Man, was that thing expensive. I mean, I got one so I could be cool with the chicks, and, I'm like, yeah, I'm calling you on my cell phone, or my mobile phone. And it was costing me like $120 a month. And I was like, ugh. So, yeah, that was when I had my first one. But then, like, the ones in the pocket, you know, I think my first one like that was the next telephones. And them were cool because you had the two-way radio built into the next telephone. That was fun. I don't know why they ever got rid of that. And, yeah, then it moved on up. And I remember my grandpa telling me that, you know, one day everybody's going to have a phone in their pocket. And he said it was going to tie into your home phone. So that was the only thing he was wrong about. But, yeah, he said everybody's going to have a little phone in their pocket and it's going to tie into their home phone. And he was close.
Yep, he was close. But they made towers. They had it in the newspaper. They made, you know, they could show how they're going to make the towers and everything, how it'll swing from one tower to the next. Now, the scanner, I don't know if you know it, but those scanners, Radio Shack scanners, used to pick up cell phones. And before then, they had scanners to pick up the Bell telephone coming. And that's, they got away from that. You know, you could hear all your conversation and stuff. But the, when they switched over to cell phone, man, I had a scanner you could pick up on. Oh, man. But it was there. But then, you know, they went, they encrypted. So before they encrypted, I mean, you can hear everybody's calls on there. I could be, I had a Radio Shack scanner and a portable, and I could be in my car, and I could look at some guy talking on the cell phone, and all I got to do is hit a button and just keep scanning until I found him, and I could look at him, his lips moving, and his, you know, so he, somebody almost got in his way, and he blew his horn, and I could hear his horn and everything. Well, you know, but I wouldn't get no cell phone until they encrypted.
Well, how about the days when we still had the cordless telephones in the house and you would pick up a conversation on a cell phone? I remember that happened to me a couple of times. And I'd be sitting there talking to somebody, you know, like one of my buddies, and I'm like, who's that woman you got over there? And he's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, I hear a woman talking right now. You don't hear that? He's like, no, I don't hear that. And I'm like, there's a woman having a conversation right now. It was someone on their cell phone, and the cordless phone was picking it up.
Yeah, I was familiar with the cordless phone. I knew all the frequencies. A lot of them started off in the 49 bands. And, I mean, 40, not in the 49 bands, 40 point something other. And then they kept going up on the cell phones until they got into the gigahertz and stuff like that, where it would be impossible to even hear them anymore. But yeah, I remember those days, and you could hear baby monitors and all kind of stuff, man. You could, I could tell you some horror stories, but I ain't gonna get out of here about that. But and I still, you know, I just saw my CB radio down in my basement that I had a long time ago. A pace 1023 feet. It got side bands, and it's a 23 channel radio. And I had a Glenn ZFO hooked up to it where I can go up above channel 23 at 40 and go in between channel and below channel 1. And I had a Silver Eagle hooked up to it. Just found it. I even tried to see if it'll work.
Yeah, I was going through my parents' garage, and my dad's got his old Cobra 40 channel with a whole bunch of buttons on it, and I seen it sitting on the shelf. I gotta climb over some stuff. I'm gonna grab that thing and take a look at it. I used to have one similar to it, but I think my dad's might have the sideband, and mine didn't. And I had the K40 antenna. Yeah, that was. We had a lot of fun on the CBs, and then we'd always hear those guys skipping from Florida. And whatnot, and there was one guy that lived in the trailer park out here at 18 in Mound area. And I still remember his handle was Hitman, and he had a CB with an amp, and he had a tower, had his mobile home, and I used to think that was the coolest thing. And yeah, that's as far as I thought it went, was, you know, using illegal power on a CB to talk around the world. Back then, I didn't know nothing about ham radio. And I was even in the Boy Scouts, and I hear Boy Scouts on the air now, you know, on ham radio, and I talk to quite a few of them whenever I hear a Boy Scout troop doing it on that weekend they do it. I always talk to as many of them as I can and tell them to keep going and get your eagle, because I was one badge away, and I wish I would have done it just because it would have been a good thing for life, you know, and I basically let the peer pressure push me out of Boy Scouts, you know, but, I mean, I was like, I was in Boy Scouts, and they have a merit badge for that, and how come I never learned about it, man?
Brother, you're really taking me back down memory lane. Well, I was a Cub Scout, and I was a Boy Scout. I never made Explorer, but that, I think that was a three, scouts that you could do back in the days when I was coming up. That was a, I tell you, about memory, that's a show there, but, yeah, excuse me. But, Yeah, so, you know, but just when I became a ham, I didn't, you know, 2 meters used to be so crowded. Nobody hardly even used 440. 2 meters used to be so crowded. I just see my call sign real fast getting between people. It ain't just. And sometimes I guess a lot of people say, why'd you say your call sign so fast, Jay? Well, it comes from back in the days when trying to get in between people. But now we got so many frequencies, we can go to high frequencies. We got a tech can go all the way from 6 meters all the way up to the gigahertz. And a tech can also use, for HF, they can use 28.3 to 28.5 on 10 meters. And I think that's one other thing, I think with CW, if you want to try that. But now, you know, it's just overwhelmed what we can do with ham radio now. You know, and a lot of the stuff that I believe that we, this modern technology when it comes to computers and electronics, I do believe it's a lot of more ham operators there, Roger.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's, yeah, getting into all that All-Star and stuff like that. And even the satellite stuff, that SAT-PC-32 computer program that ties into the rig and does the rig control for the Doppler. I mean, I first got that program, and you have to pay for it through AMSAT. And it's shooting me freaking error messages in German and stuff. And I was having a heck of a time with that. And I even sent an email to AMSAT, and I'm like, this is outdated software. It's got error messages in German. You know, what is this? This is the best thing you guys got for satellite Doppler rig control, you know? And the guy that actually wrote the program emailed me, and he says, yeah, I know it's old software, and I can't get into it and change it because it was running on some kind of system that wasn't available anymore or something. And he kind of talked me through getting it set up a little bit, you know, through emails and whatnot. And then once I understood more of it, you know, the error messages really didn't matter because I wasn't getting them anymore. But, yeah, then he went and somehow updated it, and I never got the memo that they updated it after that, and now it's a little bit better. But just you know, I was in computers in high school, and it was binary code, ones and zeros, and it was nothing like it is nowadays. And just the advancement and all that. You look at, like you said, you look at the ham radio operators and the programs that they made and whatnot to control their rigs and stuff. And yeah, I think a lot of the technology kind of evolved from that too. Could even be some of it from aliens, you know? Because how do you fit a computer into a phone?
What's your name?
My name's Don. I go by Captain Don because there used to be more than one Don out here, but I think they're starting to dwindle down. Actually, other than there's one Donald that just got his ham license. I think we might be down to two now.
Okay, I just step away for a minute. Okay, yeah, Don. Are you familiar with that Hoseline website? You can see people's call sign is on digital, like a DMR.
Yeah, there's also one called QRZ. And, yeah, I looked at I had yours website, and then I went and searched for Herman Munster. Come on. Let's see if I got it on other. But, yeah, QRZ, I'm on there, if you're on there at all.
No, you can, there's a Marto, the DMR model, DMR Marto or something. If I were to key up on my DMR radio, you'll see my call sign come across, my name and all the information. And anywhere in the world, any ham operators, you can see all their calls. Yeah, I mean, popping up. You know, are you familiar with all that?
Yeah, Yeah, this radio will do that on the, I think the Mount Clemens has a DMR repeater, and then I got that hotspot that does it too. And then, yeah, you said Brandmeister, old line. I had that off. Okay, yeah, I got that page up now.
Okay, give me a second. I want to see if you got this one. I'm trying to pull it up now. Hold on. Do you have the control center mobile DMR?
Are you talking like an app on my phone? What are you talking about?
That's on your computer. That's on your computer. If you type in, Moto. Wait, hold on a minute. Control Center Moto DMR. Motorola, this is Motorola. Control Center Moto DMR.
Alright, I'm trying to find it on my cell phone just by going to a website. So you got Control Center Moto DMR?
M-O-T-O DMR.
Okay, I think I'm on, it came up Moto DMR Control Center, but it's, yeah, it's not, it doesn't look like it's changing though.
Right, it's not. Maybe it's down, but nobody's talking. But as soon as somebody's talking on DMR, and you'll even see your call sign pop up. If you're hitting one of those DMR systems there, you'll see your call sign, your name, and all that good stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I just fired up my MMDVM hotspot. And now I can go to anything on DMR right now.
If you key up your radio, if you're able to hit it, it'll come, you'll see your call sign and name and stuff coming up through there.
Yeah, I'm trying to get on the frequency that has the that link to the top spot. Let me see. I'll find it eventually.
Yeah, if it's bringing up, I can tell you how weak you are, how strong you are, everything.
So, like, go to, like, talk through worldwide or something, and then it'll show up on here.
Worldwide, North America, you name it. That's your thing with DMR, ain't it?
I'm having trouble finding my frequency for... Maybe it's not in... Oh, here we go, Pi-Star. Okay. So now I got to remember how to do this.
Somebody keying up because you can see it moving now.
Oh, yeah. Yep, now it's moving. Okay. I want to key up on something here. I had to switch radios off. The TYT I got is like, you got to hit all these buttons to switch groups. And this OpenGD77 firmware that I got on my any tone I meant. I don't like that one as much as this TYT UV390 with this OpenGD77 firmware on it. I can switch talk groups a heck of a lot easier. Let's see. I'll just go to Michigan 1 maybe, just for the heck of it. I'm not sure if it's working or not. I don't see my call sign on there. Maybe it didn't work, unless it's slow.
Brandmeister, right?
Yeah, there we go. I did USA Bridge and I showed up. I keyed up on it.
You say you in Columbus, Michigan. I didn't even know we had a Columbus, Michigan.
Yeah, that's why I say I'm up near Port Huron, because it's a little township out in the farmland. It's like between Port Huron, Richmond, Memphis, and Marysville, I guess, up in that area. Just a real little, Honestly, I think we got a township hall, a bar, and we used to have a grain elevator, but it's gone now.
Yeah, well, I know a guy that lives up there. I don't know if you know, hey, what's his name? It's so long since I've talked to him, but he lives in the slum, though. He lives up in the slum. I haven't heard him out there in a long time. It's been so long. I can't remember his name. It's called that.
This is pretty neat, though. It shows everybody's, everybody that's keyed up everywhere. It's kind of cool, New York. So you can actually see where there's some activity. I mean, there's always activity on the worldwide one. There's Larry Key in Roseville. And it says he's in the Ontario group.
Yeah, they got on the telephone, too. Called MB. It was a Brandmeister. BM Brandmeister. And you can see, you can click on that and see him. And you can hear him talking on the phone. You can hear him talking.
Yeah, I could just hit one button on my radio and then switch to whatever one I see, too. As long as it's Brandmeister.
Yeah, Roger on that. That's pretty neat. It's got so much stuff, man. Are you familiar with the, let's see, Rick Pick? Are you familiar with Rick Pick?
That's another one I haven't heard of, I don't think. Rick Pick, like R-I-K-P-I-C or something?
No, it's R-I-G-P-I-X. Type that in, it'll give you any, and then you can look up in, you can see all my radios, you can see all the radios from, you can bring it up and it'll tell you what's on them radios. Radio, HF radio, mobile radio, you name it.
So it's Rig, Romeo India Golf, and then Papa India X-Ray.
You got it. Dot, I can't remember if it's dot or dot com. One of them dot or dot com, but it'll pull up, and you know, you can, and then you click on whatever, company that you want. ICOM, Yaesu, and it'll bring all the radios that you look it up if you know the model number. Like for instance, you can look up yours, and it'll tell you everything about your radios, the radios you got.
Yeah, I was looking for Yaesu. For some reason, it ain't on the left side there. What the heck?
Oh, it's on there. You gotta put on your glasses. It's on there. Yaesu, ICOM. Yaesu, ICOM, Kenwood, and what is that other one? Another one, too.
ICOM. But yeah, no, I'm looking on the left column, and they're in alphabetical order. When you get down by Y, you've got Jupiteria or something, and I'm not even heard of, and then Zygu is above that, so there's no Yaesu. What the heck?
Wait a minute, let me go to that website. Hold on.
Okay, it's at the top. They got it says Ham and SWL, ICOM, Kenwood, and Yaesu. Okay. It's at the top. They got that in a different group.
Okay. Well, you can, if you can look at my radio, the Yaesu 847, go to Yaesu and type in the 847, and you'll see just how it'll show you how my radio looks and what it'll do. And so, and my Yaesu 991A and any other radio, ICOM, Kenwood, I got a couple of Kenwoods, and my 5100, my D-Star, you know, 5100, ICOM, so they'll tell you all that.
Okay, all right, yeah, I see yours looks a little newer than the FD840 Yaesu that I had. That's kind of, that's the one that broke, huh, the 847, that's a decent little radio, wow.
I love that radio. Yeah, you know, and it's not like my Yaesu 847 I'm talking on. Because my Yates is 847. It's got two connections. You got one connection for a 6 meter and HF, and the other one for 2 meters, 440. My Yezu 847 has separate connections, four separate connections, one for 6 meters, one for HF, and one for 2 meters, and one for UHF.
Yeah, that's like my Kenwood. It's got an N connector for, that one's for 2 meter or 70 centimeter, I don't remember. And then it's got another one, you know, one for 2 meter, one for 70 centimeter. And I think it's got two for HF, if I remember. I like that radio. if that radio had a waterfall, it would be like the perfect radio.
Yeah, well, that goes with the time and change, you know. Yeah, but I love both of them. I'm gonna find a way to get that radio fixed. I love that radio. Man, I kept that radio nice and good condition and everything. And it broke my heart when that girl dropped it in the box. Knocked off three knobs, and they didn't even want to pay. I'm like, what the? And I put insurance on it. So the guy down in Florida said, I can't fix this. I can't find parts for that radio. It's too old. Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm looking up that the very first HF radio I bought last year when I started the Yezu FT840. I remember when I bought that thing, I seen all them buttons on there, and I'm like, what am I going to do with all these buttons? It only took me about a month to know what they all did. But, yeah, there's even more buttons on that 847. And then the Kenwood PS2000, I still don't know what half of them buttons do. There's a lot of buttons on that radio.
Don't be like my friend Charles, KDHJP. He let that 991 intimidate him. He bought that thing for $1,300 and sold it to another friend of mine for
$800. Oh, wow. No, heck no. Yeah, that DX10 that I got, I pretty much know everything that does. And the FT710, that one's the one I use when I go portable. Both 100 watts. The DX10's got two different receivers or a mixed receiver. It's got a Heterodyne and a what's the other one receiver? I don't know. But that one I could fine tune it a little bit more on a quiet like HF that I'm hearing somebody real quiet. I can play around with all the settings and get it so I can hear them better, a little bit more than I can on that FT710, but yeah, that 840, that first one I bought, that one, basically, yeah, it still had a little bit of, you could fine-tune a little bit with contour shift or something and stuff like that, but no, if I don't know what they are, the buttons, I'll play around with them and see if I can figure it out just by, you know, what it sounds like or vice versa, but yeah, that TS2000, I'm sure it's got everything that DX10 has, and probably more. It's just, you gotta hit different buttons to make it work, versus having that touch screen that, you know, you go into all the settings and change stuff.
Yeah, Roger. You still, Don, you still on that website?
Yeah, the one with all the radios?
Yeah, look up my HT, my ICOM 81A.
There's got to be a search here. I'm trying to look through all of them, and I'm not finding it. Where's the search?
Yeah, let me see. It should be in the front, yeah, 81A. It's a HT. Maybe it might not be in there. I would assume it would be. But that's what I got. And that thing you can hold in the palm of your hand, and I can use my thumb to scan and scan the pills and stuff. I use that radio with a speaker mic. I go out of town and get me a mag mount stick when I rent a car, stick it on there and run the HT in a car with a speaker mic, and that's my instant mobile radio. And that thing will do 2 meters and It'll do 6 meters, 2 meters, 220, 440, 1.2 gigahertz.
Okay, is that the ICT-81A?
Well, it could be. I know it's the 81A. If it's the ICOM 81A, yeah.
Yeah, it's got a number pad, and that's gray. The radio's black, and it's got like a cursor button that's gray next to the speaker.
It's got a little round button at the top. Can you see that one?
Yeah, I think this is it. It's a 81 ICT-81A, and yeah, that's a neat little radio. They don't make it anymore, do they?
No. And I was so outdone, because I got two of them. I bought another one from, I love that radio so much, I had bought it from a guy at a swap. But when I was in Dayton one time, and this guy, I don't know, he just came up to me for all of a sudden, man. And he says, $35 or something. So huh, what? He says, I just bought this from this guy and I'll do this and that. I said, are you familiar with that? I said, Yeah, what can I get? He said, well, he still got three left, and he's over here somewhere in the pre-market. So I went over there, he has already sold it just that fast. God, I was so outdone.
Oh man, that's a bummer. Yeah, the ICOMs and the Kenwoods and the older ones. There was a ham that passed away near me in Sterling Heights here. Actually, she had her ham license too, but it was her father. So yeah, because the guy I knew, it was his father-in-law. So it was her father, and he had a ham license here, and he had one in another country. And she said that she had some stuff that she just wanted to give to somebody, and if you could use it, use it. If you can give it to somebody else that needs it, if you don't need it, do that. And if it's no good, throw it out. And there was a tuner that was decent. I actually gave that to somebody that was giving it to a new ham. A manual tuner, and there was an HT, and I think it was an old Kenwood. Let me find a picture of it. Hold on a minute. Yeah, it was a Kenwood TH415A, and it looked really old. I'll have to look it up on the site. It's the TH415A, and I want to see what it actually does, because I never looked it up on a site like this.
It should be in there. It should be in that website.
Huh. I am not finding it. Handy talkies. It's got to be there. What? Can I say 415A? I'm not seeing it. I'm going by the numbers. Oh, 415A. Here it is. Okay. Let me see if I clicked. It doesn't even show the picture of it. So it's saying it's a strict UHF radio. I actually hooked it up and I got it to get onto this repeater. The guy, I guess the battery was dead, and somehow he rigged in a cigarette lighter plug or something to it. And I actually got it working, and then I had to figure out how to program this repeater and the PL phone. It was such an old radio. Let's see, when was it made? It's a 1980X to 1990 discontinued. So yeah, it was late 80s radio, HP, that was only UHF, and I actually got it working. I was like, hey, this is cool.
What model was that?
It's a Kenwood Tango Hotel 415A is alpha. They don't have a picture of it, though. But it tells you all about it. It's just the 70-centimeter, 1 through 5 watt. And it does say low is 500 milliwatts. I didn't realize that.
Oh, okay. I got it.
I got it in my truck here. I should see if I can find it and talk on it real quick.
Can you still hear me?
Yep, I hear you.
I'm trying to turn my power down because I got high SWR. I'm trying to turn it down. For some reason, it's high tonight. I wonder if it's raining outside or something.
Oh, man, I thought the radio was right here. Oh, wait, is this it? No. I'm not going to find it now, am I? Darn it. Oh, well. I was going to try to find that old thing and hook it up, but I don't see it now. Got to be buried under my back seat.
Oh, well, you know, I always say when you get time, you know, you'll get it that if you want it, you know. So, yeah, but there's so much to this. It's pretty neat to how I get all of my friends, we all get together sometime and get on Echolink. And we have about 10 guys in there on Echolink talking. And we just kind of got pissed off with one of my friends because, you know, with Echolink, if you don't watch it, if you link up to a repeater, people on that repeater can hear you. And one time we just talking all kind of ways, and next thing you know, we hear this Morse code, dee, 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 dee. Say, who the hell got a repeater hooked up? and our friend Charles up there in Warren, he says, I got it connected. Let me disconnect. Oh, brother.
I've got Echolink, but I don't usually go on it too much. I don't know. You might have been one of the ones that talked to my friend Thomas up in Minnesota. And he's into that Echolink, and he'll tie it into my All-Star Hub and do the Hanyham net on Saturday nights on there. I actually met him through the International Space Station repeater. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I met him. I was talking to a guy up in Flint, Michigan, and we were some way, you know, we was on this repeater or something, and it was hooked into Flint machine. And I got to talk to this guy. He was a pretty new ham too, and he didn't know nothing about Echolink. Well, he had it, but he didn't know what it would do. I said, well, I talked to him and the guy in Minnesota, all of us go to Echolink, and then I got my friend Charles and Warren to come on there. We had a four-way conversation. And he thought it was pretty cool, you know. It's like being in a chat room, but as long as you ain't, you know, not connected to a repeater, I think having Echolink is a good tool, especially for those hams who doesn't have a radio or cannot set a radio up in the apartment and anything.
Yeah. Like my great uncle, he's been a ham for years, and he had some kind of a job where he was working at the Johnson Space Center in Florida, and he went into a nursing home in Arizona or a group home, not really a nursing home. I guess it was assisted living or something, and he couldn't bring any of his antennas and whatnot. And the bad thing with that is he wasn't tech savvy enough to figure out how to use the Echolink and all that stuff. So, and I was so far away, there's no way I could show him. I think he's in Florida now in another home closer to his son. But, you know, stuff like that. I actually thought about trying to send him a note for All-Star so he could hook into his, you know, repeaters in Arizona and all that. But I wasn't sure if he was going to be able to figure it out. I think he's like 90-something years old, and So yeah, he actually let his license lapse because he didn't have any access to any radios that, you know, could work in Florida there. And so I call him up once in a while on the cell phone and talk to him and talk to him about what I'm doing in ham radio. And like when I made the astronaut contact through the space station, I sent him the video I had on YouTube of it, and he was just like, wow, this is so cool. And then he'll tell me stories about his ham radios he used to conduct parades in Arizona and stuff when he was younger. It's kind of neat.
Well, that's too bad. Wish I could have talked to him and get him up the rise in an Echolink. I mean, it's easy. I mean, a friend of mine, I was trying to teach my friend how to use Echolink. First got in ham radio. And he's pretty responsive. He was getting frustrated at first. But he's an extra. And then all of a sudden he started telling me stuff on Echolink that I didn't know nothing about. So, yeah, but I wish I could talk to him about that. But that's a good tool for people, you know, hams that handicapped and everything. And that would have probably encouraged him to keep his license that I got a hold to him.
Yeah, and I think if I would have, I think I tried explaining the All-Star to him a little bit, and he got a little flustered with it, and that's a little bit harder. Like, if I would have sent him an All-Star node and then wrote out some instructions, he would have been able to figure that out. But, yeah, the Echolink, I guess that would be easier. But I don't know if he might have dementia, because he told my aunt that I was trying to get a hold of him and to have me call him. And at that time, I hadn't been trying to get a hold of him. So I called him anyway, you know, and I talked to him probably for about a good hour and a half. And I think he just said that to my aunt because he wanted me to call him, you know. So I try to call him at least once every couple weeks. I actually haven't heard from him. I should probably do that tomorrow, Sunday. He'll probably be up and at it, and I'll give him a call and see, because I guess he was really into it at ham radio, and he got out of it, sold everything, and then he's like, I wish I would have kept the HP I had, because I'd have sent it to you. And it's probably like the one that I was just talking about that only did like 2 meter or 70 centimeters, but it would have been a neat little keepsake. But anyway, yeah, I don't know if he's with it enough to where he would figure it out, but maybe I'll mention it to him, because it's not that hard. Like, I've actually got my All-Star Hub, you can get into it through Echolink. It's on my QRZ page. If you go on QRZ, I think it's just my call sign -L, and it gets into the Space Odyssey Hub.
Yeah, Roger. I don't think I wrote your call sign down.
Yeah, it's Whiskey 8 Charlie Papa Tango. I'm looking now to see. Yeah, I got it. You go down below the little astronaut video of Matthew Dominic. When I talk to him, it says, yeah, Echolink Hub Connect is WPPTO.
Roger. Okay. Yeah. You ever go to, what's the name of house over there? What's his name? I live in Sterling Heights over there. AVA. Lynn. Man, I can't think of Lynn's call sign. Lennox, Lynn. AVA FK or something like that.
I've heard of him, but I've never been to his house. For a minute there, you're talking about Larry, NYAT. He's got a cool setup.
Well, Lynn, we use it, you know, sometimes he'll invite and have a antenna project over his house after breakfast on Saturday. And then, of course, if he's warm outside, and they build a dipole, one of the strands, and he was showing it. He built it for 20, and the wire, he had the wire and stuff, and when he put it out there, man, he had a contact I mean, within seconds, he had a contact there. But, yeah, I thought maybe you probably know him because he live over there. Like I said, live over there in, what is that? Yeah, Sterling Heights over there.
Yeah, I've heard of his name. I can't remember where I heard of his name. It must have been on here, I would think. But yeah, no, I've never been there. Yeah, we got, mostly what I do with other hams is we get together at Stony Creek. UCCA Club does the Lark in the Park, so we'll in the summertime, they'll meet up at Stony Creek and we'll all bring our radios and play around. And yeah, that and Compota with a couple of my friends, where we go to a park and activities.
Yep, it's all good. I done been all over, especially summer field day. Winter field day, I've been up there. I don't know if they still have winter field day, but I think it's like the third week in January or something. And it's up there in Satellite, Michigan or somewhere up there. I went up there one time to that spot, and you stay overnight, you know, and they cooked and everything. It was pretty cool. They said, sign you to a bunk. Funk and everything, and that was fun.
Yeah, the UCCA, they still do that, but there's not a lot of people that go. I was supposed to go last winter, and one of the side effects that medication gave me, that antibiotic gave me, is like severe anxiety, and I got a pretty good grip on it now, but I didn't have a good grip on it back at Winter Field Day, and my one buddy was supposed to go with me, and he had to back out because he got sick, so I ended up not going, and I was kind of looking forward to that, because it's up north of Port Huron in some cabins right on Lake Huron, and I'm going to try to go this year. They still do it.
Oh, shoot, I may try to make it. I went up there with Carl. I don't know if you know Carl. He's a fireman. He was just a fireman a few months ago. I drove up from Detroit to his house. He was living in Mount Clemens or something like that, and we drove up there and spent the weekend up there. You know, it brings a little food and stuff. We all cooking around, staying up all night, talking and stuff, and you know, getting our bunk. You know, it was pretty neat. Then during the day, got up. They had different cabinets. One cabinet had six. Operating 6 meters, the other one operating 20 meters, and the other one operating 80 meters and all that stuff. It was pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'll have to see if they're doing it this year. I'm sure they will. I mean, I think they had about 10 people that ended up showing up or something like that. It wasn't like the old days, I guess. But, yeah, I was going to bring all my satellite stuff and get the satellite contacts for Winter Field Day and then probably do some 20-meter and 40-meter, because I have a lot of fun with those field-based stuff. If I was actually doing it at the club, but it was like, I'd do it from my house, and then, you know, the club would show that they had, you know, like 200 single sideband 40-meter contacts, and I was like, man, I had 340 from my house.
Yeah, Roger. Is there somebody else trying to get in there? Yeah, it sounded like somebody was cutting tea up on you there. Okay. Yeah, it's all good.
Go to bed.
This will keep me busy and keep me from being so bored. I got all this stuff here, equipment and stuff like that, man. It's a mind-blowing thing. That's all I can say. Mind-blowing thing. So I take it you probably haven't been to Dayton, have you?
No, I haven't been to Dayton. I kind of want to go this year. I actually got a YouTube channel, Amateur Radio with WTPT, and there's a few of the YouTube guys that are out there that they always meet up at the hamventions and stuff like that. And I don't know how many of them actually go to Dayton, though. I know a lot of them go to the one in Florida, Hamcation and all that, but it'd be kind of neat to go to one of them and meet up with some of them guys and learn some the YouTube tricks. I'm not really trying to make any money on it, but I'll go live doing my satellite passes. And actually, out of the six astronaut QSOs I've had, I think all of them but one, I was actually live on YouTube. So it was kind of neat. So I got videos on it of every single astronaut contact on there.
Yeah, I think with this guy that he videotaped at the ham convention, because he interviewed me down there in Dayton twice. In 2018 and 2019, right after that, they had the convention in 20 because of the epidemic or something like that, you know. It was pretty neat. I could see myself on that. And when they were interviewing me, people was looking at me on YouTube and said, "Hey, Jay, fix up your hat. Do this, do that." And the lady was telling me who was videotaping me, said, "Hey, something said, fix up your hat." it was pretty exciting. I got to look at these, they call signs. And they travel from, I don't know, way up in, I want to say Wyoming, and drive all the way in a van, and they be talking all the way, and they be videotaping while they talking to on this in the van. K5, I gotta look it up.
There he goes doing that duck transit or whatever again. That's like the fourth time it's done it tonight. Is it K8MRD?
I'll tell you in a minute, hold on. Man, I looked all through my list. I don't know why I can't remember the call and stuff, but these operate K5 or W5, ULB, ULB, something like that. God. And they got all the videos of Dayton and everything. You know, he has a pretty nice, neat website, but I just can't remember the call.
Yeah, I've been searching on YouTube, but I'm not coming up with nothing.
He's got a 4-5 call. He's got a 5 call, but I can't remember if KU5B or W5AB, something like that. But, you can go on his website. And you can go back to all the Dayton and the ham conventions and look around and see. And they had interviewed me twice down there. And dang if I can't remember his call.
You remember his name or like Ham Radio 2.0 or anything like that?
Well, no. My guess is we bring up Dayton Ham Convention. I know he's pretty popular in Dayton Ham Convention. Dayton is the most biggest ham swamp we got. That's the granddaddy of them all. That's the first one we started with, and it's still the biggest. Even though they start having ones in Florida Florida, Alabama, stuff, but Dayton has always been the biggest.
And you said that was 2018?
18, 19, yeah.
All right, I'm seeing Field Radio. These are the YouTube channels. Jesse Selena, Ham Radio Adventures with K0PIR.
If you see something with 5, let me know if you see something with 5. They had a group of those. Group of them used to come to Dayton.
Yeah, there's a Ham Radio CQ. That's his YouTube channel. I wonder if it says what it's... calling.
This is W5KUB.
Alright, I'm searching that on YouTube right now. And I don't have anything coming up. What the heck?
I might be wrong, but I thought it was W5KUB. W5KUB. Hold on.
Well, W5KUB is Thomas Medlin in Tennessee. He does say he has a YouTube channel. Let me click on that. And you said he had a woman with him, too? This might be it.
It'd be a group of them. And maybe I was wrong about Oregon. I think it might have been Tennessee.
Yeah, so there's a woman named Katie, that's blonde, W-Y-7-Y-L, and then Tom, the W-5-K-U-B, and then Glenn, Kilo Whiskey 5, Golf Papa.
You can talk to them while they're at the swap and stuff through their website, that thing, too. Yeah, that's it. And you can go back to some of the Great Ham Convention while it's down there. Go back to 2018, 19, where they were interviewing, and then I'm in there. They were interviewing me. I had my hat on, NAW Jill. I had my hat on. They was interviewing me, and my friend said, "Man, go over there, so I can watch you on TV." So that's what I did.
Trying to see if I can find it. I'm back 4 years, 5 years, would have been, what, 2019, I think?
Let's see. About 5 years ago. About 5 years ago, 5, 6 years ago. I know they had said that was just before the COVID-19 and the year and two before COVID-19. And that was around, so, in there somewhere, but it was pretty clear. They was covered. Yeah, he picks up the hat, this, that, and all this. The lady would say, "Hey, Jay, somebody tell you to fix up your hat, fix up this, that." It was pretty cool.
Yeah, they got one that's memories of Hamvention 2018, and that just looks like a bunch of pictures that they crammed all together. I'm still looking.
This is a video, but those, they just showing Dayton. See, Dayton and changed, because it used to be at the Coliseum. It was a big Coliseum, and everything was under one roof. I used to love that place, but they didn't take care of it. And a tornado hit it or something like that, too. And because they had everything under one roof. And when sometime in May, the third week of May, it might be kind of cool outside, maybe hot, maybe raining. You can always go in the Coliseum. And that is, if you don't want to go in the flea market.
Yeah, this is it, because this Can't Drive 55, Dayton, 2018. That's only a 3-minute video, though. Then there's an interview with Tom. Oh, wow. And then it jumps to 2014, 2016. Oh, here. Memories from 2018. Hamvention 2018, Saturday, 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. I bet it's this.
But they had it from Friday to Sunday. They had it, the ham convention was Friday to Sunday. And it's over at about 2 o'clock on Sunday. But if it's during the other part of the day, it'd be from like maybe 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning till about 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Do you remember what day it was they interviewed you?
Yeah, it was May. Oh, boy, let me see. Well, It was May's, it had to be between May the 19th to 21 in 2018 and 19. And if you roll it all the way up to five minutes, something like that. I think it was like, you roll it all the way up to 5 minutes when he was interviewing. And if it got a little thing on there, you could scroll it up to 5 minutes, and I mean, 5 minutes or something, something like that.
Yeah, do you remember if it was Friday, Saturday, or Sunday on that weekend?
It had to be Friday. I don't know, Friday, Saturday. Either Friday or Saturday. I was sick with Friday. We always, me and my friends, we always get there on Friday. It had to be Friday or Saturday. Oh, man, I can't believe I can't remember. But my friend said, yeah, man, I got your YouTube. I was looking at you, blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. So you can stroll. It's either Friday, the 19th. The 19th or May the 9th, 2019 or 18, somewhere in there. I forgot. But just when you come to it, you'll see my. They interviewed me and I got my cat on. I am with my call sign on and everything like that. But I don't know.
Oh, I'll end up finding it. They got 2018, and they got 3 days. They got Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So, you said it was like the five-minute mark. For some reason, I can only get to the seven-minute mark. I'm trying to get back to the five-minute mark.
That's around five-minute mark, somewhere in there. You scroll up to the five-minute mark. Somewhere in that five-something, 540, I don't know, somewhere in there. I'm in there. I can't remember if it was on the 18th or 19th. I think I was interviewed twice, both years, I think.
All right, so on this one, I'm at 5:18 into the video. I'm going to watch it here for a little bit. See. There's two guys waving. Not you, though. Let's see. That's pretty funny. I don't know. There's three of them. I'll watch. Actually, I'm gonna get ready to go to sleep. So I'm gonna watch and see if I can find you. And then if I find it, I'll let you know when I talk to you again tomorrow or something.
If you have any chance, catch me on Echolink. I always have my Echolink up and running. If you don't catch me on the computer. All right, Don. Take care. We'll talk with you later. Yeah, I done slept all night, so I'm gonna see if I can watch a little blue teeth. We'll talk with you later, Father. I'd like to keep you up on a lot of other stuff that you may be interested in too. 73 is at AWG. I'm gonna be clear.
All right, thanks for the good conversation. We'll definitely catch you again. Oop, somebody's talking on my DMR. All right, I'll catch you later. Have a good night. WCBC, clear.
All right, WCBC. WCBC and AWFA.
KZ8Z Mobile. Go Lions!
November 8th, Delta Bravo Foxtrot. I didn't catch that, sorry.
W8NSC, yeah, a little scratchy. Got some bacon frying in there.
Alright, I'll take that. It's a Kenwood GHC-75 hooked up to a VTEC amp that I'm running while my 500's in the shop, but I could never do this before, and I'm sitting behind a house right now, so should be good once I'm in the clear.
Okay, what machine are you coming on? I'm on the Richmond machine.
I'm going into Romeo from Elmont right now, just west of 53 on Dryden.
Okay, I got you. Nope, I can make it out. It's doable.
Copy that. Yeah, like I said, it should be better. I'm parked behind my house right now, which is directly between me and the repeater, so I think once I'm mobile and out of the way here, I'll be clear.
Very good. Yeah, I'll just cut off the freeway heading east towards the river.
Copy that. Yeah, you're sounding good. Which, you're going into Richmond, where are you at?
I'm on Division or Fredmore or 32, whichever you call it, almost just about a mile and a half east of 94.
All right, yeah, copy that. That's a good bit of ways away from where I'm at. So, repeater's doing a good job, and you're coming in nice and clear. I got a little bit of snow, but that's, like I said, because of the building. So, all right, cool. I started to pass this. This is 2.5 watts into that amp, so I don't know what the amplification is and the formula, but I'm assuming I'm probably putting out about 20 watts right now, so I'll take it. Appreciate you coming back. This is NAQDF.
DBS,
W-N-F-C-7-3.
7-3. KF-8S, W-A-C-P-T, got a copy?
Yeah. All right, so how's this sound? This is 5 watts on my TYT UV390 with my Comet Vertical on my truck.
Yeah, sounds really good over here. How am I sounding to you? I'm on Mount Clemens.
You're sounding good. I just bumped it up to 10 watts. Probably didn't notice any difference, though. But this is what I'm going to use on the next ISS pass and see if I can hear with this, then it's that MD9600 that's just not receiving good for some reason.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, I'm going to use my 390 ready for that in an hour. I think the caps from last night are still good.
Yeah, I could run in the house and grab my laptop and update it, but I was told, like, 3 days you're getting close to where something might have changed because they might have had to move around space junk, but all the other satellites, they're saying, like, maybe every 5 to 7 days because them are just affected by the Earth's gravity. The ISS, they can actually move it if there's something coming in the way of it.
They need to invent deflector shields like on Star Trek.
Well, there you go. Yeah, the thing that was kind of interesting, and it was only like a 20-degree pass, and I didn't really care when this happened, but they used SpaceX, the capsule, I think, that brought supplies. They used that to do a burn to move it higher up in orbit to, you know, just to see how it worked. Because prior to that, I think they were using the Russian something or other to do it. And so they pushed it higher up in orbit, and I waited for that, you know, the next pass after they did that without updating the caps just to see, and it was, I was using my aero antenna, and I, you know, only time I heard it was when it was straight overhead, because the Doppler, you know, was at 800, but I bet it wasn't straight overhead then either. I bet it was off, so yeah. When they do a burn like that, you definitely have to. So, like, if they did that today and nobody knew about it, then everybody's caps would be off from yesterday. But if they didn't do anything like that, then they should be on.
And I don't know how often they update the site, you know, the caps data. I wonder if they only do that once a day, too. Do you know anything about that?
Now, I need to find out more about that because they have no reason to do it other than every 5 to 7 days, I think, as far as all the other satellites. So they might not, and I need to look that up because I might be, like, updating this every day for no reason. Because normally before I start working on any satellites, I'll just do it just to do it. Yeah, if they say for sure it doesn't change for like 3 days or something, then I'm going to start only doing it every 2 days. That way I know. I don't know. I'm going to look that up, though. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I would use that little Anytone that, you know, to try that out, but it's only going to be like 5 or 6 watts, right? And I don't have a directional antenna, so I think I'm better off using the 390, which I can pump a little bit more power out of that guy for this one. So I'll see. Eric said he heard me last time I used it, so I know I can get in there. And this one looks like it's going southwest. I can't tell if it's starting in the northeast and going southwest or the opposite. But either way, perfect alignment with where my antenna is. So I should have a good field of view for that.
Yeah, it's starting southwest and it's going to northeast.
Yeah, its highest point is going to be in the southeast of me, which I've got open sky to that direction, so that's going to be good.
Yeah, and for me, that's the worst direction because south to east is my parents' house, basically, where I'm sitting. But I still usually get it. When I use the aero antenna, I get it fine. So I'm curious, but we got 1 hour and 6 minutes yet, bummer. But no, I got this 390 hooked up to it, so I'm going to give that a shot. I'm going to take a break here and I'm going to try to look up that KEPS question you had because I'm curious too. If I'm updating it every day for no reason, I don't want to.
Yeah, then you got to find out when they did update it. So, all right, I'll let you get back to it. I'll be monitoring various places. KFADS.
All right, sounds good. I'll catch you a little bit. W8CPT.
W8FU.
W8FU.
Radio check, Kilo Echo 8. The radio check, please.
Kilo Echo 8, United Radio Victor. I got you, you're coming in really good.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I'm just on HT. I'm down visiting my girlfriend, and I'm originally out of Bel Air, Michigan, up north, and I just brought my little inexpensive HT with me and wanted to make a check. Thank you very much. K-E-H-A-Z-I. I'll be clear.
Roger, you have a good night there. I'm glad you checked in and out. And it's nice to hear somebody from the other parts of the state here coming in. So have a good one.
K-E-H-U-R-V. First personal is Jim Juliet. And you, Mike.
Thank you.